Sports Traffic has been sponsored by Illinois Lottery. Play daily, play nightly, play when you need a smile, play for the rush. No matter how you play, play the Illinois Lottery. Have a ball, have fun, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny skies today, then clearing with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, clear skies with a low in the lower 40s. Wednesday, sunny, high around 70. Wednesday evening, mostly clear with a low around 50. And Thursday, breezy, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 42 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 44. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with Ride Finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride Finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service free of charge, so sign up today and begin easing the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. For a list of potential carpool or vanpool partners from Ride Finders free ride matching service, log on to www.ridefinders.org or call toll free 800-VIP-RIDE.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, David Swanson joins Liz Brown. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org, and they're pushing to have President George Bush impeached for starting an illegal war. A new study indicates a majority of Americans favor such a move. We'll talk about that and more of what his group has in the pipeline. And that's Tuesday morning at 7 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brother, help me listen. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brother, help me listen.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. heal the wound.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Ooh, welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. Where do we go from here? I'm listening to the musings. I'm listening to the noise, I guess. The noise of the right. And part of it, I dig it, you know. I understand that there is a strategy. Or, let me see. You have to be strategically minded if you plan on being successful in pretty much in anything. But particularly so in the world of politics. You have to be strategically minded. Now, there are some evil strategies. There are some God, I love you strategies. There are some righteous strategies. But strategies there must be. And I understand that the Republican Party has some strategies. You got to. Lord have mercy, with all of the hits that you took last week and have been taken, you better have some kind of plan. Even if it's just, what do they call that? Stop, drop, and roll. Even if that's your plan, you know? You're on fire. Stop, drop, and roll. That's the plan. I understand. But as we get through these days, I just want to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was worried that boy George couldn't pull it out. I was worried that baby boy could not find his groove, his fear groove. And I was worried that our ADD special needs baby wouldn't be able to be able to focus on what he wouldn't be able to stop focusing on the only thing that he knows, scare people about tourism. They had to sit boy George down in the chair, take away his pretzels and his burr, and say, pay attention, George, pay attention. Yes, you have to scare the American people, but they are not buying the Saddam Hussein thing anymore. They're not buying the Osama bin Laden. In fact, the Osama bin Laden scare thing makes you look kind of bad and stupid. George, they're not buying that. They are not buying that. We need to come up with another fear tactic. Ah, fear factor. And we found one, and it has wings. George, you're going to scare the American people with the bird flu. Whew, praise the Lord. The only thing I know is trying to scare the American people into not looking closely at me. Bird flu. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You heard it here first. There is no bird flu. You heard it here first. This flu is not jumping from animals to people. You heard it here first. And if it was, since when is this country, since when is the mind of man astute enough to know the date and the time that it's going to jump from a bird into man? Come on. Come on. Bird flu is not jumping species. It ain't happening, but check it out. Lots of folks, including, you heard it here on our world news report. Who has money in this bird flu? Well, you know, y'all gonna make me cuss on the air. Donald Rumsfeld, it's not as if you're not making enough money off of the war on terrorism. Now you're making money off this, the fake war on terrorism. Now you're making money off this fake war on bird flu. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that there is bird flu. And it's jumping from species to species. If that's the case, we all need to just duck, cover, and roll. And just to hear all this stuff, they say, well, normally it takes just weeks and weeks and weeks when you have it incubated in the egg of a chicken. Now we can take it out of the egg of the chicken and we can put it in the egg of a monkey and we can incubate it a lot faster. What? Huh? 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 The only way that this bird flu is going to jump from the bird species to the human species is with the help of the lies of the Bush administration. That's the springboard. That's the catalyst. That's the connection. Shoot, anything can jump with a lie. Huh. How is this stuff jumping species, y'all? Now, I understand why Africa's taking care of Africa, because they have birds in Africa. They want to protect their bird population. They're glorious. Unparalleled, magnificent bird population. Y'all need to protect your stuff. I understand why you're not letting it in to countries if you don't want it to jump from bird to bird. I get that. But y'all think I'm on my, y'all think I don't have no mind. Y'all think we stupid. I'm scared of the bird virus. And trust me, baby, if you start to get it, it's because they put it in you. If you start to get it, it's because they put it in you. Bird flu. Y'all think we stupid. Y'all think we stupid. And George Bush, check this out. George Bush is not making a national statement about the meltdown of lawlessness, the lawless meltdown in his Oval Office. He's not making a national statement about the fact that his people compromised a spy for the United States. They blew their cover, and there are probably dead Americans all over this world because of what Robert Novak did with the help of this administration. from George Bush's office to Dick Cheney's office. There are dead American soldiers all over the world. Soldiers whose identities have been compromised because of petty men, petty minds, petty plans. Well, and I guess it's not petty when you get millions of dollars for it. To keep the American people from the truth of the lies. Let me say that again. To keep the American soldiers are dead all over this world, I suspect. They have to be dead or compromised all over this world. To keep, why? Because wicked men wanted to keep the American, keep the truth of the lies from the American people. You hear what I'm saying? You feel me on that? Heck, quote me on that. George Bush is not going to have a press conference about keeping the truth from the lies. Oh no, he's gonna have a press conference about Daffy Duck. He's gonna have a press conference about Big Bird. He's gonna have a press conference about Heckle and Jekyll. Oh, but he's not gonna have a press conference about what we need to know. Ah, well, why would you change your role in the middle of the game? Every other press conference he's had has been about pushing some lie. Why would this one be any different? These are amazing times that we live in. Ain't no bird flu. It's not jumping from human to human. It's not jumping from Big Bird to you. Lord. Lord. We have some problems, we have some issues, we have some challenges, we have some stuff we need to handle. I'm sure I can hear you. I can hear those conservative, scary little Republicans out there, too scared to call the show. I can hear you out there saying, talk about Alito. talk about the Supreme Court judge. We're going to talk about the lies. We're going to talk about the lies. And for those of y'all that don't believe this good government would lie, I'm going to share a story with you after the break. Let me get to a couple calls here. Let me get to some calls here. Ain't no bird flu hopping from Big Bird onto you. It ain't happening like that. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Liz Brown.
Brother Al, good morning.
You know, they have already sold out the Tamiflu, Liz.
Oh, you sold
can't
it,
get
sold
it
out
anymore.
To...
They done made so much, they done sold it.
Sold it to who?
The people in the world.
Who?
They said they don't even have none to ship to America anymore, but
you
Liz,
don't...
let's move on.
No, wait, no.
Yes, we got to move on. You know, last year they had a contaminated batch and they closed that one company down.
Mm-hmm.
It's another research facility. I ain't going to call no names and be liable, but they're buying them out. Now, I understand they started the flu inoculation here in the United States, and they don't have enough inoculations right now for the old-style flu. But I'm like with you. I keep hearing this, and they say, well, it's 4 or 5 years out. It's going to be a pandemic. I'm wondering what it is they're trying to scare us with when they can't even get us inoculated in 2 years.
They're trying to scare you and to get... Don't look over there at the illegal war. Don't look over there at Medicare. Don't look over there at the tax breaks for the wealthy. Don't look over there about no bankruptcy protection for the real people out here. Don't look over there. Be scared that you're going to catch the flu from Big Bird. That's what you need to be. That's what you need to be paying attention to.
You know what, Liz? They said they made 50 million... inoculation shots for America, shipped it out. Is it Britain they manufactured?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it strange we got one American company that's gearing up to start making the flu vaccine for the American people? Now, they say we've got to get prepared. We can be prepared in about 5 years for this pandemic of bird flu. We can't even get geared up for the swine flu. 50 million shots with 400 million people. Have a nice day, Liz.
Mm. Well, see, you inoculate 50 million with the stuff so that they can pass it on to the rest. That's what you do. That's what you do. You're on the wake-up call. Car phone.
Yeah, this is a babysitter. I want to thank all the people who gave out candy last night to the little children, put happy little faces on some of these children going through some hard times, terrible times with some of these schools out here, and this George Bush impact on the parents with the gasoline and all this kind of stuff. At least the kids had a little happy day, even though it was a little rain and stuff, but today it'd be nice and sunny for the children to enjoy the cane. I just once again want to thank the parents who still, the adults out there who still had a kind heart out for the little children, didn't care about the crime for one day and wanted to go and just put a little smile on the little children's face. And I just want to say one other thing.
I got a rope, but thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Shadows are falling all over town. Another night in these blues got me down. Oh, misery, I sure could use some company.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Northbound 67 and 55, there's an accident reported in the left lane that's causing a backup. Northbound 55 at 141 and River DePere, no problems there. Eastbound 44 from Antire all the way to the Merrimack River Bridge is running smoothly. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor, heavy volume, no delays then to Mason all the way to Lindbergh. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel all the way to 270 looks good. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. West or eastbound 70 at 79. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway. That is closed due to construction work on a ramp. You can use 11th Street or the 14th Street exits to get around. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge is slow in the I-55 lane. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing is running smoothly. Northbound Route 3 onto the PSB, it looks good as well. And Old Highway 21 at Lyons, then there's a report of an accident involving an abandoned vehicle off the roadway. There's a partial lane blockage. Highway P west of Maine in O'Fallon, there's an injury accident. And that is a look at your traffic. This hour's traffic was sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines. 3 new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny today with a high in the lower 60s this evening. Clear with a low in the lower 40s. Wednesday sunny with a high around 70. And Thursday breezy with sunny skies and a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 42 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 44 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call, we're going to take another look at the so-called Leakgate scandal from another angle. New York Times reporter Judith Miller says she went to jail to protect her source, who turned out to be Scooter Libby. But was she really just protecting him from a perjury charge? How do you expose corruption by protecting the corrupt? That's our focus with Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fair and Accuracy in Reporting, Tuesday at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Ever hear of the Restore?
Yeah, where is it?
3763 Forest Park Avenue, east of Vanaventer, west of Spring.
What's in the Restore?
It's an eclectic mix of new and used building materials.
Like cabinets, stoves, hardware?
Absolutely. Everything from windows and doors to the kitchen sink, and then some.
And your purchases benefit Habitat for Humanity St. Louis, right?
Yes, they do.
I gotta check this out. When's the Restore open?
Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4.
3763 Forest Park Avenue.
The Restore. Check it out.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, David Swanson joins Liz Brown. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org, and they're pushing to have President George Bush impeached for starting an illegal war. A new study indicates a majority of Americans favor such a move. We'll talk about that and more of what his group has in the pipeline. And that's Tuesday morning at 7 here on the Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you a song. Come away with me. Come away where they can't tempt us with their lies. And I want to walk with you.
Ooh. Come away with me. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Would our good government lie to us? Would our good government lie to us? Well, New York Times, October 31st, when was that? Yesterday? The National Security Agency, that would be the NSA, has kept secret since 2001 a finding by an agency historian that during the Tonkin Gulf episode, a lie which helped precipitate the Vietnam War, NSA officers deliberately distorted critical intelligence to cover up their mistakes. The historian's conclusion is the first serious accusation that communications intercepted by the NSA Who's the NSA? The secretive, eavesdropping, and code-breaking agency, were falsified. Our good government falsified, so it made it look as if North Vietnam had attacked American destroyers on August 4, 2004. Lyndon Johnson cited the supposed attack to persuade Congress to authorize broad military action in Vietnam. So do you suppose that in 2035, the lies will finally be wrung out of the facts? And we'll hear how Condoleezza Rice and Karl Rove sat down and conspired and constructed this war and propped George Bush up and set him up, and we went from there. Would our government lie to us? Would our government lie to us? Would the truth be kept to us, from us? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Don't forget, folks, Marlon Gray's funeral is today at 11 a.m. at St. Peter's Church at Margarita and Shreve. That's at 11 o'clock. The burial is at Lake St. Charles Cemetery, and then back to St. Peter's at Margarita and Shreve. I've been thinking about this Marlon Gray case. I've been thinking about Jay Nixon. I've been thinking about the politicians that stood silent while Marlon Gray was murdered. The Rodney Hubbards, the Ted Hoskins, the folks of those ilk. And we're going to talk about some stuff. We are going to talk about some stuff. Because it is there is a responsibility that is owed of elected officials. Jay Nixon has no trust within the community of African descent or anyone. And it's going to be interesting as we move towards issues that elected officials are going to want black folks to buy into, to see how hard of a hustle we get from some of these elected officials out here. How hard is Rodney Humber going to hustle his education piece on behalf of the Republican Party? How hard is he going to hustle that? And compare and contrast that to how hard he hustled on behalf of Marlon Gray. How much advantage did we get from the Rodney Hubbard's relative having a position on a nice position on the Board of Probation and Parole? How'd that work out for us? We need to connect the dots. We need to take the stances. We need to fight the fights and do the heavy lifting. And you know what, Howard? I want to hear the Minister Farrakhan piece on the way out to this break. Because it is. I want to remind you all of what our responsibility is as a voter, as a person that puts people into office. What is it that we're supposed to be doing? What it is that we're supposed to be doing. Let's feel this on the way out.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Every one of you, my dear brother, when you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. Join the Urban League. Join the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join PUSH. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote. So, in the next election, we want to see who in here do we want to stay? And who in here do we want to go? And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it. We must be prepared to help them if they're with us or to punish them if they're against us. And when they're against us, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the vulnerable in this society.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline, Washington. A story posted by the Drudge Report indicates that Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald intends to put Vice President Dick Cheney on the stand as a witness in the trial of his former Chief of Staff, Louis Libby. This move will undoubtedly be a showdown between the White House and prosecutor over the issue of executive privilege. Fitzgerald has said that he would like for Cheney to appear as a witness in open court. He and Libby's attorney did talk about plea options before the indictment came down last week, but nothing came of those talks because Fitzgerald is bent on having Libby do some serious time behind bars. And Dateline New York. Last week we told you about Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's ties to the bird flu scare. He was former chairman of Gilead Sciences, the company that owns the rights to Tamiflu, the vaccine that is now the most sought-after drug in the world. He still holds stock in the company that is currently estimated to be worth between $5 and $25 million.
Over the past 6 months, the company's stock has soared from $35 to $47 a share, meaning his personal portfolio has gone up by at least $1 million. This past summer, the Pentagon bought $58 million worth of the vaccine for American troops, and now Congress is on the brink of making a multi-billion dollar purchase for citizens. It is known that Rumsfeld had considered selling all of his stock when the bird flu story began to break, but his financial consultant apparently told him it would probably be better for him to hold onto his shares and just shut up about it. Otherwise, he might be accused of selling with insider information. Former Secretary of State George Shultz is on the board of Gilead, and he sold over $7 million worth of his stock this year. The wife of former California Governor Pete Wilson is also on the board of Gilead and undoubtedly has a nice stock arrangement, too. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
Come enjoy Inspecting Carol by Daniel Sullivan at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 517 Theater Lane in Webster, November 4th through 6th and 10th through the 13th. Shows are 8 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Sundays. For more information, call 962-0876. Inspecting Carol at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 962-0876.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child age 2 to 4 receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, David Swanson joins Liz Brown. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org, and they're pushing to have President George Bush impeached for starting an illegal war. A new study indicates a majority of Americans favor such a move. We'll talk about that and more of what his group has in the pipeline. And that's Tuesday morning at 7 here on the Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Heard you thought about committing suicide. Was it your pride that made you want to die? Leave your mama, wonder why, and your baby get to cry. And was it over a jilted lover, trusty brother, operating undercover to make you turn your back on your God? You crying for? Let him go.
What you crying for? This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I am looking for our first person who's going to come to the station and drop their blankets off for our second annual wake-up call, Carver House Blanket Drive. You can, we're taking blankets now. We're taking blankets now at the offices of the studio of WGNU Radio, 265 Union, 13th floor. You can pick up blankets at the dollar store for $5 a piece. I'm asking all y'all to put $20 a week away. Buy some blankets, folks, for our blanket drive. It's going up today. And please don't shoot the messenger. But today is the day that the new rate hikes go into effect for LaClee Gas. Your gas bills are going to be 40% higher than they were last year. Oh, they didn't have to get approval to do that either. They changed the rules, so they don't have to get approval to do that. It's going to be a bad winter. It is going to be a bad winter, and I know lots of folks need help. Will help, and one of the things that people talked about after Katrina, or as we continue through Katrina, is that there are so many people in the city of St. Louis that need help. We have a serious homeless issue in the city of St. Louis, and our blankets are for the homeless. We are going to go out like we did last year, and put blankets into the hands of homeless people. We put sleeping bags, we put tarps, we put blankets into the hands of homeless people. And we're going to do that this year as well. And we need your help to get that done. Let's make it a success this year. You can start delivering your blankets now to the station, or bring them on down, or drop them off on the 18th of November. We, of course, are looking for volunteers. We need some more volunteers. Give us a call here at the station at 454-6660, 454-6660 now, or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. We need to get this done, and I look forward to your help. I was talking to some folks yesterday that were so excited about getting their blankets in. So let's get this done. And please don't forget that the funeral of Marlon Gray is today at 11 o'clock. It's at St. Peter's Church right there at Margarita and Shreve. And that is today. We have so much to talk about. So much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. I just want to briefly say what a hypocrite Cheney is. He continually says the government is a burden and that private business is overregulated and bothered by the federal government, and yet he has sent tens of billions, no, 20s of billions of his farmer company, every government project he can find, and then some. So this is another big example of the right wing telling lies and doing the exact opposite in public and private. Thank you very much, Liz.
In our next hour, we're going to have, I believe it is David Swanson from Downing Street Memos. We're going to be talking about what's going on with the I word, the impeachment word. In the light of so much has happened since last we talked to David Swanson, Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, Cindy Sheehan, Harriet Myers. We've got much to talk about, much to talk about, and we're going to get that done in the next hour. Stay with us.
People who love peace all over the world.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Jim Hickey.
This is a judge, a justice who comes to the bench without an agenda.
Joe Watkins, conservative commentator on the nomination of Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court. Alito's critics say he has a strong conservative agenda, especially when it comes to abortion. But ABC's Jake Tapper tells us he appears to have mixed views.
In some cases, Alito has voted for abortion rights previously defined by the Supreme Court. In 2000, he voted to strike down a ban on so-called partial birth abortion because it didn't take into account the health of the mother. And in 1995, he voted against limiting federal funding of abortion for victims of rape and incest.
The deadly avian flu, better known as bird flu, has the full attention of the president today. He's expected to make a big announcement about fighting the disease. It appears bird flu has reached Canada. The agriculture minister, Andy Mitchell, is on high alert.
We want to make sure that we take all the necessary precautions, and therefore we are doing additional testing.
Another roadside bomb, another dead American in Iraq today. And the military command says the bombs are difficult to prevent. They're becoming very sophisticated. ABC's Martha Raddatz at the Pentagon.
The shape charge is constructed from a large steel pipe filled with explosives. One end is sealed. On the other end, a curved metal plate is fitted to form a weapon that amounts to a giant bullet. The heat from the explosives can send the projectile more than a mile per second, penetrating armor up to 4 inches thick at a range of more than 100 yards.
At least 93 U.S. service members killed in Iraq during October. A National Guard soldier there is headed for a court-martial accused of fragging two officers, killing them with grenades and an anti-personnel mine. This is ABC News.
I'm Bill Ford. At Ford Motor Company, innovation has driven everything we've done, starting with the Model T and the assembly line. Today, we're recommitting ourselves to American innovation by building hybrid vehicles reaching 250,000 each year by the end of this decade and 250,000 ethanol-capable vehicles next year to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Innovation will be the compass that guides this company going forward. At Ford, we're driving American innovation.
With that kind of speed, that kind of strength, it's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. And Advil Liquid Gels, the only leading brand with real liquid inside. Rush relief right to where you need it. It's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast, Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
An old science project is paying off nearly two decades later.
Remember doing this? Children releasing helium-filled balloons to see how far they would go. They did it at Autumn Lane Elementary near Rochester, New York, back in 1987. The kids attached cards to the balloons. 18 years later, 9 of the cards have been returned to the school. They were found in the Adirondack Mountains 160 miles away. And surprisingly, the cards were in good condition. Faculty members tracked down some of the former students and say they were thrilled. Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
There is a fella in Vermont who has a sweet tooth, and he's in big trouble for it. Steve Bain was found guilty of stealing maple syrup, more than 75 gallons of it. Maybe he wanted the goop to lace the marijuana. The marijuana he was also convicted of possessing. With 6 felony convictions, he could spend the rest of his life in prison. Sweet. I'm Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the former clerk of the Troy Municipal Court faces at least 5 years behind bars. 41-year-old Carol Gibson yesterday pled guilty to embezzling funds from the courts and attempting arson to conceal the theft. As clerk, Gibson handled monies received from traffic court, criminal fines, bond orders, and other court-related activities. U.S. Attorney Catherine Hanaway says Gibson embezzled more than $15,000 from the city of Troy. Gibson's sentencing is set for January 20, 2006. A Republican assistant state's attorney is the new circuit judge in Madison County. Don Weber was appointed to the post yesterday, and he will assume his new responsibilities tomorrow. He is taking over the seat left vacant after circuit judge Philip Cardis retired in September. Weber's appointment expires on December 4, 2006, when the November 2006 election winner assumes the position's six-year term. President Bush is urging the Senate to confirm Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito by the end of the year. Eric Clay, the professor of law at St. Louis University, predicts that Alito will have a fairly smooth confirmation process, although not as easy as that of Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts. Clay says he expects that Alito will come across as thoughtful, engaging, and likable. A new study at Washington University School of Medicine could be music to scientists' ears. The study shows that male mice, like many male birds, sing in the presence of the opposite sex. Since mice are commonly studied and genetically modified in labs, lead study author Dr. Tim Holley says the discovery might open doors to learning more about the human brain.
Birds have to produce the song, they have to be able to perceive the song, and they even learn the song from a tutor. All of those are involved interesting things that we don't understand about how the brain works. And one of the problems is that it's actually a little bit difficult in certain respects to work with birds.
In the future, Holley says researchers may be able to use the new finding to study human speech disorders. The study is set to be published online today by the journal Public Library of Science Biology. Finally this hour, Cardinals pitcher Jason Marquis is a recipient of a National League Silver Slugger Award for his performance at the plate this season. Marquis was chosen by Major League managers and coaches as the best-hitting pitcher in the NL this year, but he was the only Redbird to win a Silver Slugger, as Albert Pujols lost out to the Cubs' Derek Lee for the honor at first base. Marquis batted .310 this year with 8 doubles, 1 home run, and 10 RBI in 87 at-bats. His 27 hits were the most by any pitcher in the last 21 years. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Prevention Magazine's Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Prevention, America's most trusted health magazine, is proud to introduce Prevention Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Help achieve optimum health with Prevention, available at GNC and fine independent pharmacies. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44. All roadways are reopened after an earlier stall is cleared. Traffic then is slow in pockets from 55 all the way up to 44. Northbound 55 at Poplar Street Bridge is a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked near 7th and Park. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass all the way into Merrimack River Bridge, it is slow. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, you've got slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 from 370 to the Blanchett Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 from Newhalls Ferry all the way to West Florissant, you've got slow traffic lined up in the right lane, then all the way from New Florissant to 170. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Lindbergh, it's slow. And eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit that has road construction, you can use 11th or 14th Street exits to get around there. The bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 from 64 on to the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue, the 5570 split, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Nothing to report there. Northbound Route 3 onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Highway FF at Wilderness, there's a report of an accident involving a vehicle off the road. That's in Franklin County, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurant. Start your day with a warm McGriddle sandwich and a great cup of coffee. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny early this morning, then clearing with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, clear skies with a low in the lower 40s. Wednesday, sunny skies, high around 70. And Thursday, breezy, mostly sunny skies. The high should be in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios, however, we have clear skies and 43 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clear skies and 44. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. She has David Swanson, the co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distant number is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have, oh Lord, we have so much stuff to talk about. How bad does it have to be for George Bush that he is pinning his hopes of distraction on Big Bird and a partisan fight over a Supreme Court nominee? How bad does it have to be that the good news for George W. Bush is that he's going to try to stop the nation and scare them about catching the flu from Big Bird? And a nation engaged in a battle for a right-wing ideology. And understand this. This Alito guy was not George Bush's first choice. Wasn't his first choice. Because otherwise he wouldn't have made the screw-up with Harriet Myers. No. He wasn't the first choice. This is not what he wanted to do. Whoo, there's what do they call it? Trouble in River City. And we need to talk about the trouble in River City. This morning, joining us from Washington, D.C., we have David Swanson, the co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org. David, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm good.
Very good. We haven't talked since Cindy Sheehan or Katrina or Karl Rove or Tom DeLay. So how's it hanging for George Bush and this administration?
Yeah, I saw Cindy a few days ago. We went and got arrested at George Bush's house. He's struggling, you know, and it's not widely reported in the media, but we did a poll a couple weeks ago, and 50% of the country would like him impeached for lying about the war.
And talk to us about this poll, because I appreciate the fact that you all have done a poll, but how come no one else has? What's the hang up? What's the hold up? What's the problem?
Well, most of the polling companies refuse to do it. Some of them refuse to do it even for money.
In America?
this is our public communication system. I mean, they openly tell you, look, we won't touch a topic until people of substance or people in power or office holders push it forward. And so you can have some polls already done that we paid money for by the most mainstream corporate polling companies there are, like Ipsos, which does all the polling for Associated Press, that find 50% want impeachment. 72% of Democrats want impeachment. And because you haven't got a single member of Congress or senator or, of course, a member of the Bush administration pushing the topic, it's extreme. It's radical.
But wait a minute. That's not fair or accurate either, because when did John Conyers not become a member of Congress?
Well, John Conyers, God bless him, and I love him, and he's one of the most courageous and progressive members we've got in Congress, has not introduced articles of impeachment, has not...
The polling people are saying unless there are articles introduced, we're not going to take a poll?
Right.
Huh? Well, were articles introduced before they started polling on Bill Clinton and whether he should be impeached?
That's absolutely right. And they never got numbers for Bill Clinton as high as we've already gotten for George Bush. When Clinton, at the height of the, you know, watch Ken Starr walk to the end of his driveway every day, couldn't get away from it, they got about 26% wanting impeachment. You know, we've got 50. Wanting Congress to start impeaching, and you know it's radical because you haven't got the leaders, the big shots pushing it. You haven't got the media conglomerates making it a story every day, and so you can't even get the polls done. It's phenomenal.
Well, it's phenomenal to see the resistance to this, because America is almost founded on the philosophy of we don't do anything without taking the pulse of the American people to see whether it's selling ketchup or selling a presidency. You take polls.
Well, you do, but the polling companies are, you know, $100 million companies, and they only question people on what they want to question people on. And, you know, and even so, we know that the polling results are rarely reflected in the news reporting, right? You know, single-payer health care, restoring the minimum wage, these are radical left-wing ideas in news articles, although you have 80% of the population wanting them. But, you know, when it comes to issues where they won't even poll on them, you know, it's just a story that doesn't exist, and people don't know about it, and people say, well, yeah, I want him impeached, but I'm probably in some tiny little minority. Most people don't want him impeached. You know, people don't know they're in a majority.
Or even people aren't even, some people aren't even thinking about the idea of impeachment, but if it were brought to them, they would say, huh, well, yeah, maybe we should consider that.
That's right.
There's another group of people that haven't even thought about it because they're living their busy lives and they're not politically inclined, but if it were to be brought to them.
That's exactly right. That's why we want the polls done and the stories told, because then the 50% jumps to 60% immediately because people hear about it.
Well, tell us about who did your poll, how did they do it, where did they get the people from, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you can go to afterdowningstreet.org/polling and read all about it. There is a polling company called Zogby International that did a poll back in June voluntarily. We didn't have to pay them to do it. They went out and polled, and they found 42% of Americans said they agreed with the statement that the president should be impeached if he lied about the war. And, of course, we have polls done by ABC, Washington Post, among others, showing that a majority believes he did, in fact, lie about the reasons for war. And then we couldn't get Zogby to do it again. We couldn't get any of the others to do it. You would think such a phenomenal result,
that's a
more
big deal
than he ever had for Clinton, you know. Everybody would have wanted to go out and confirm it, but we couldn't. And we convinced Ipsos Public Affairs, which does all the polling for AP, among others, to do it for money, to add a question to their poll if we paid them to do so. And they found 50%. And I think more importantly, for Congress members like John Conyers, among others, 72% of Democrats. So you have.
Well, what were the numbers, the corresponding numbers for Republicans during the Bill Clinton days of impeachment? How many of the Republicans wanted Bill Clinton impeached? Is that about the same?
That's a good question. I would have to go back and look, but it has to be lower because overall, you had 36% interested in starting impeachment proceedings, 26% wanting actual impeachment of Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And so 26% overall, the number for Republicans can't be terribly high. No doubt it was much higher than for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, currently we have 20 to 25% of Republicans interested in impeaching Bush over the war.
Because the question was focused narrowly to not just generally do you want George W. Bush impeached, but as it relates to his lying about the war.
Yeah, all the pollsters told us, every single one, you can't just go ask, do you want to impeach George Bush, because nobody's ever heard of it, and you'll get I don't know and no responses off the charts. You have to give it some sort of context. So you have to ask, if Bush lied about the war, should he be impeached? And or you could ask multiple questions if you wanted to pay a lot of money. You could ask questions that sort of created a context. Do you think Bush lied about the war? Do
gotcha.
You think Bush should not have gone to war without approval from Congress? Do you think Bush used depleted uranium? Do you think Bush criminally neglected the welfare of the Gulf states and New Orleans, et cetera, and then ask, should he be impeached? But we didn't have the money to do that, so we asked sort of a two-part question. If he lied about the war, should he be impeached? And so there may be people who want him impeached for other reasons.
Mm.
You know?
So the numbers may even be greater than that.
Right.
So where did you take this poll? Who did you pitch it to? Who did you present it to try to get it to have some legs? And by the way, when was this poll taken?
This was just a couple of weeks ago. Let me.
So this is prior to the indictment of Scooter.
Oh yeah, this is prior to the indictment, and we are working hard to try to get some companies to take our money or do it for free to poll on this question now, post indictment of Libby. You know, we put up on the website afterdowningstreet.org, we're going to pay money for these polls, give us money. And people gave $10, $20, and we raised over $10,000 very quickly, and now we're trying to spend it. And we haven't spent most of it yet.
So who have you been taking these polling results to try to get them to report on it? How does that work?
Well, it doesn't. we put out a press release and called all the reporters that that usually report on polls, and we got a good deal of interest from radio shows like yours that are open to topics of conversation, and of course from the internet, but none of the most of the mainstream reporters who report on polls report on their own organization's polls.
Gotcha.
The Washington Post reports on the Washington Post polls, and so on. It's a little harder to get them to report on someone else's. The AP always reports on Ipsos polls, but not in this case.
Well, how about internationally? Have you gotten any bites from people overseas that would be interested in this poll?
That's a good question. Not yet. No.
Because I would think that someone like The Guardian or other newspapers like out there would be interested in reporting something like this.
You know, we probably haven't tried as much as we should. But we've certainly sent it to the reporters we've worked with, and they haven't used it. But we should try pushing them harder, because that's the more likely place, as you say, for it to break through.
And particularly given the fact, David, that this is a fresh poll, and it is I think it's significant that it's pre-Scooter Libby. You know, I think it's significant that it's pre Harriet Meyer's withdrawal. It's pre those other things that some people might try to discount it because of all of the negative attention on the White House in the last week. So I think it's huge that it is pre those things.
That's right. And when we get the next one, if it has bigger numbers, it'll be huge too. So we'll push that one too. But yeah, I think you're right. The other thing we're working on with regard to the Scooter Libby is pushing for a real investigation in Congress. There are Congress members willing to push for an investigation of the White House Iraq group and all of the lies that came out of the White House selling the war.
Well, and talk to us, David, because you have this on your website as well. Talk to us about who this Iraq group is and the congressperson that's pushing for this investigation.
Back in 2002, when the White House wanted to sell a war based on lies to this country and to Congress, they put together a working group in the White House called the White House Iraq Group. Had about 9 people in it. Had Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, Condoleezza Rice, and Stephen Hadley. Hadley was then her assistant. She was the security advisor. He's now the security advisor. Andrew Card, Karen Hughes, Mary Matlin, Nicholas Callio, James Wilkinson. So these were top staff people for the president and for the vice president. And Karl Rove ran the meetings. And their job was to lie to the American public and put out propaganda selling a war. And so Congressman Dennis Kucinich had...
They were running it like a campaign.
Right. It was an advertising campaign. It was a sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And they went out and blatantly lied and stated with absolute certainty claims about weapons of mass destruction and ties to 9/11 from Iraq that they were being advised by their own departments were false.
And we also can't forget the whole Condoleezza Rice mushroom cloud bit that she brought to the American people.
That's right, which is the real story behind the Valerie Plame affair. You know, the media now thinks they're being serious and substantive when they dig deep into the actual issue of who outed Valerie Plame rather than just who committed perjury. But the real story behind all of this is Condoleezza Rice and the other members of the White House Iraq group claiming that Iraq was developing nuclear weapons, you know. Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice claimed that Iraq already had nuclear weapons. That wasn't even what the forged documents were supposed to allege. It was supposed to be that they were working to build nuclear weapons in the distant future. But even that was completely false. They actually forged documents to make those claims. And this is now coming out. The Italian media is doing serious reporting on this, you know, because they went to the Italian intelligence agency to get them to produce these documents. And, you know, this is what has to come out, and what is not guaranteed to come out through Patrick Fitzgerald's investigation, but would through a congressional investigation. And so Dennis Kucinich has a resolution of inquiry that will go to the International Relations Committee. There has to be a vote by November 9th. And this is the committee that last month almost passed a resolution of inquiry from Barbara Lee into the Downing Street memos, and, you know, failed by one vote, had a couple of Republicans and all the Democrats supporting it. If we can build a little more support and pass this broader resolution into the White House Iraq group, all hell will break loose in Congress.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to David Swanson. He is the co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about impeachment. George W. Bush, what has to happen, why it should happen, who's working on it happening. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 40 between McKnight and Clayton Warson, a vehicle spun out and it is on the right shoulder. There's a brief backup. Northbound 170 at Galleria Parkway, there's an accident on the right shoulder and there's a brief slowdown. Northbound 55 at Arsenal, there's an accident and traffic is slow near that point all the way to the Poplar Street Bridge due to the earlier stall. Eastbound 44 from Bowles all the way to Mraz Overpass, stop and go traffic again in the right lane from Merrimack River Bridge all the way to 270. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow traffic going there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, the slow traffic is lined up in the right lane, and then from New Florissant to 170, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for stop and go traffic. Northbound 270 between Sappington and 44, you've got stop and go traffic as well. And southbound 55 between Gasconade and Loughborough, there's construction work. Two right lanes are closed. There are no delays at this hour. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 55-70 split from 64 onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 from 55-70 split, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing, it is sluggish this morning. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Start today with a warm McGriddle sandwich and a great cup of coffee. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny skies this morning, clearing this afternoon, high in the lower 60s. This evening, clear with a low in the lower 40s. Wednesday, sunny with a high around 70. Thursday, breezy and sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 44 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 44 as well. Stay tuned. More of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call, we're going to take another look at the so-called Leakgate scandal from another angle. New York Times reporter Judith Miller says she went to jail to protect her source, who turned out to be Scooter Libby. But was she really just protecting him from a perjury charge? How do you expose corruption by protecting the corrupt? That's our focus with Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fair and Accuracy in Reporting, Tuesday at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
direct from Austria, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna, in their first North American tour in over 15 years. This rare visit salutes the 60th anniversary of General Patton's rescue of the Spanish Riding School and the Lipizzaner breed. For over 400 years, the unique and beautiful dancing white stallions have thrilled audiences around the world. Don't miss this incredible experience, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna.
The Savas Center, November 12th and 13th. Tickets now at the Savas Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. To charge by phone, 314-241-1888. Presented by Audi.
You can ride with the James Gang. Just saddle up with Dennis James online at WGNU.net.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I heard he sang a good song. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, stranger to my eyes, drumming my pain with his fingers.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is my long distance number. We are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net and archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. Our guest this hour is David Swanson. He is the co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org. And David, welcome back.
Thanks.
talking about the impeachment of George W. Bush, what has to happen? I mean, how does the scenario look for something like that to at least get started?
Well, any member of the House of Representatives can introduce articles of impeachment or can introduce a resolution that, if passed, would create an investigation into grounds for impeachment, and then you would have articles of impeachment. It's a little disturbing because it's one of these issues where you have the vast majority of Democrats and a majority in the country, or dead even 50%, for it, but not a single member willing to do it. And
why is that? Particularly given the reasons, the energy behind doing something like that, the fact that all of that is there, why is there resistance in Congress?
Oh, yeah, the first member of Congress to step out and introduce articles of impeachment will be a folk hero, will be worshipped, will be a god, will have websites generated, will have money pouring in, volunteers asking what they can do. You know, there's more passion out there for this than any neglected issue I've ever seen. You know, half the signs at the big march on September 24th were about impeachment. You know. But the Democrats and the good ones will tell you, we can't do it while we're in the minority. We'd look stupid. We'd look radical. The media would attack us. The Republicans would attack us, et cetera. You know, Republicans, when they were in the minority, looked at everything differently. They said, well, let's tell people where we stand, show them what we would be about if we had the majority. Let's propose all sorts of radical stuff that we can't actually pass, but will win us votes. you know, and they still do it. They,
mm-hmm.
you know, they want to amend the Constitution to ban same-sex marriage and all kinds of stuff that will never happen, but that wins them votes from their voters. You know, the Democrats, you know, and this is why many activists are pushing impeachment so hard right now is not because we think it'll pass, but because it will create an opposition party, let people know that there are Democrats with backbones, and then get a majority of Democrats next year, and then pass it.
Here's the other piece of this, though, David. Maxine Waters, Congresswoman Lee, Congressman Conyers, they have always been in the forefront of any good issue, of all good issues. They've always been the fearless warriors for stepping out on Front Street, Congresswoman Lee in particular. What are their reasons for not pushing this or not stepping out on this?
No, they're the ones I was talking about. Their reasons, if you talk to them or their staff people, are not that the evidence isn't there or it would be wrong. Their reasons are that they're in the minority. They don't want to do it and look stupid. They want to do it when they're in the majority, that the votes in Congress aren't there now, you know, and which is entirely inconsistent with everything they do. You know, nothing else that they do is guaranteed to pass. Most of the bills and resolutions they push don't pass.
Well, let's talk about the CIA and the cocaine connection. I mean, Congresswoman Waters was right out there on that. You know, so we know that the issues that they talk about aren't necessarily going to pass, but they're always right.
That's right.
But here's maybe there is a concern, because I read an article over the weekend about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton telling Democrats that they need to stand up and be strong on issues, which is just remarkable to hear. I mean, given his wife won't say no to the war. So maybe their concern is that maybe it's not the Republicans that they're concerned about being in the majority of. It's maybe just being a majority within the Democratic Party of taking this position.
Absolutely.
I mean, if there were. It was just galling to hear Bill Clinton talk about how we need to stand, that Democrats need to stand up to the issues of abortion. Well, what about the issue of war?
That's exactly right. And if you look at what issue people care about the most,
it's not abortion.
It's the war or the economy.
Yes,
it's
not
abortion. But you know, the Democrats who are continuing to push this losing strategy of acting like Republicans think they're imitating Bill Clinton. You know, and so when Bill Clinton steps out and says you need to address the tough issues, somebody's got to ask him to get specific.
Well, he did. The only issue he talked about was abortion.
Right.
I mean, so that was the tough issue for him to say, to stand up to Republicans on abortion. And how sad is that? That it comes down to that Democrats aren't even standing up for abortion.
Right. And his wife wants to send more troops to Iraq.
Absolutely.
This is how you stay in the minority. This is how you destroy a party. You know, Clinton was a brilliant politician and got himself elected, had some help from Perot, but we lost both houses. We lost state houses, and we've lost any sort of focus for this party.
And there's a reason why we have the bankruptcy bill right now. There's a reason why fewer kids are in college right now, because of the stuff that he did when he was in office. So, I mean, yes, he was very good at getting himself elected.
That's right. And, you know, we have majority opinion. We don't need better talking points. You know, we need to put pressure on the members of Congress to follow majority opinion, including the best ones, including our friends in Congress. We need to call them up and say, why won't you do this? And on Wednesday, it's November 2nd. It's 1 year since the election. And all kinds of organizations are planning vigils and rallies around the theme of get rid of Bush, throw Bush out, and the war. And the group that's coordinating is called World Can't Wait. The world can't wait to get rid of Bush. And in St. Louis, at noon on Wednesday, there's supposed to be a rally and a march at the northwest corner of Del Mar and Skinker. I don't know, have any idea where that is. And then a teach-in on dissecting the Bush doctrine. And I'm just reading this off the list of events on the World Can't Wait website. But if those are real streets.
Those are real streets. They're not far, actually, from the station.
Yeah. Well, that's the place to be on Wednesday.
And And it's really, David, it's hard to believe that it's only been a year since. It's hard to believe that it's only been a year, given how much has happened. You're out there. You were with Cindy Sheehan not too long ago, getting arrested with Cindy Sheehan. When you talk to people out there, what is the sense of what it is that people want? I mean, is there a huge disconnect between what the Democrats want and what the people want when you talk to people and you're out there getting arrested?
Sadly, there is, and it's not just who I talk to in the crowd of hardcore.
David, your voice, we've lost you. You're kind of muffled.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
All of a sudden, you went muffled on us.
I'll talk more loudly. When I talk to activists in the street, but also...
Hold on for a second, David. We're having a hard time hearing you. We're going to take a break. I'm going to let Howard talk to you, try to get this worked out. I'm talking to David Swanson. He's the co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org. Joining us from Washington, D.C., I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Freedom is mine today.
Wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. American military conducted a precision bombing run in Ramadi yesterday. Officials say it was a strike on an al-Qaeda leader, but local officials say of the 40 people killed in the bombing, none were guerrilla fighters, and most of them were women and children. An army official says the entire Euphrates Valley that runs south from the Syrian border is a prime pipeline for foreign insurgents to come into the country and head for Baghdad. A local tribal leader told a news agency that there are no insurgents in the sector where the airstrikes took place. All the people there are innocent civilians. And Dateline Washington. Some communications information that you should be aware of now. The FCC has given the okay for telephone giant SBC Communications to purchase AT&T Corporation. It will also allow Verizon to buy out MCI. SBC originally started out as one of the baby bell companies that were created over 20 years ago when the federal government broke up the AT&T monopoly on phone service in order to promote competition. That deal is being consummated for about $16 billion. Meanwhile, Verizon is taking over MCI, which has been plagued by the scandals of its parent company, WorldCom. That transaction is said to be worth about $8.5 billion. The FCC has, however, told both buyers they will have to offer high-speed access to the Internet as a standalone feature. That means people will be able to buy DSL service without having either company as their local service provider. Both companies also will have to put a freeze on some wholesale rates and will not be able to refuse or penalize any other companies that want to use their existing networks. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues!
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on, I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
The wake-up call blanket drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why. You can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Don't forget, if you miss an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. We are archived daily. I am talking this morning to David Swanson, co-founder of afterdowningstreet.org. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. And David, welcome back.
Thanks. I apologize for my phone. I blame Karl Rove.
Absolutely. And he'll deny it. So talk to us about what the pulse is out there in terms of what people are feeling about what should be done. Like I said, you were just recently arrested with Cindy Sheehan. Is there momentum building? Are you sensing that?
I think there is. I think that people are starting to focus on the anti-war movement the way that they did a couple years ago before the war. You know, a lot of people were disheartened when we had this big movement and we had these huge marches, biggest marches ever in the history of the planet, and the media didn't care and the war went right ahead. And people are starting to get re-energized. There was a lot of focus on the election then, and which of course was wasted, and now the focus is on ending the war for a lot of people. And you know, when you talk to people in the streets, the families of soldiers who've died over there and veterans who've come back, they, of course, have the strongest position. They want it ended now because, you know, every single death is more than a number to them. It's somebody's family, and they can't see why anyone would support ending it any later than now. But if you take polls, you know, all of the mainstream media does do polls on support for the war and when people want to end the war. And, you know, we now have a majority, a strong majority, believing the war was a mistake and it should be ended and the troops should be brought home. And when pollsters ask people what's at the top of their mind in terms of politics, what's the top agenda they care about the most, it's either the war in some cases or the economy. So it's right there at the top, and we need some leadership in Congress.
I'm looking at your website, afterdowningstreet.org. One of the articles that you have on there is an article that I took a look at yesterday, Why Aren't the Democrats Screaming Bloody Murder? And it's an article that to me is so true, that it appears that the Democrats are, some of them are paralyzed because of their vote in support for this war. Can't they move past that?
Some of them have, and I don't know why the others can't. And I think there has to be more to it. And when you go and talk to them and to their staff people, they say, look, we've seen the polls. We know that, that not just Democrats, but all Americans, have a majority opposed to this war, but Democrats are afraid of being called weak on national security.
But what? Okay, I just want to dissect that just for a second, David.
Please.
They're afraid of who? When they say that they're afraid of being cast in this light, who are they afraid of? Are they afraid of their constituents? Are they afraid of the media? Where is their fear directed?
The Republicans and the media, you know.
So they're afraid of them. They're not afraid of their supporters.
No, they're willing to go against the wishes of the majority of their constituents in order to adhere to the wishes of the media and the Republicans.
I don't understand that. Except to me, David, the only conclusion that to be drawn is that they really do believe that they did the right thing and they're not trying to move away from it.
Well, many of them do. We know that John Kerry during the election famously said he still would have voted for the war knowing everything he knows now, and we know that the leaders, according to the media, the leaders of the Democrats, the senators and who are put on the talk shows all the time, want to send more troops, you know. And John Kerry now wants to bring back 20,000 troops, but we had an extra 20,000 troops there for the election. So we're not talking about changing anything.
And incrementalizing it is meaningless. I mean, you're either in or out.
It is. If you want to bring troops home, it's because it's an injustice. It's because it's destroyed international law.
Because why bring 20,000 back and leave the rest of them there? You know, you're in or you're out.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, there are Democrats, a handful in the Senate, willing to start talking this way a little bit. And there are, there are over 60 members of the House have now joined the Out of Iraq caucus, and there are roughly 75 members of the House who support various bills and resolutions. There's nothing strong enough for where the people stand. Congressman Jim McGovern is planning to introduce a bill that says simply no more money for the war, and that's the right thing for Congress to do. Because they have power over the money, and this is how they ended Vietnam, and if there's no more money for the war, there can be no more war. But they're going to have a hard time getting some of the Democrats, much less the Republicans, onto that bill.
Well, I'm looking at the numbers. On October 11, 2002, the Senate voted 77-23. The House voted 296-133 to authorize Bush to attack Iraq if Saddam Hussein refused to give up weapons of mass destruction. So there's 133 of them out there that already said no to this. And there are 23 of the senators that already said no to this. Where are they? Where are they? Or as the kids say, where are they at?
That's right. There are, you know, 133 members of the House, you know, two-thirds of the Democrats in the House voting against their own so-called leader, Dick Gephardt, who was buddy-buddy with the president pro-war, and voting against the president. And many of them since then have voted for every new installment of funding for the war, have voted for every pro-war measure since then, and have been afraid to speak out, although they voted against it at that time. And this is what their advisors tell them to do. This is the new breakthrough, brand new theory for how the Democrats can win. That's the same as the old theory for how they've been losing for my lifetime that keeps coming out. You've got to be macho. You've got to be military. You've got to out-Republican the Republicans.
And that would be nice if they would fight. But, I mean, it's one thing they're not even fighting. They're not being macho in any respect. They're just capitulating.
That's right, and they end up looking weak because they're Democrats acting like Republicans. If they were Democrats standing up as Democrats, and, you know, the DNC is now chaired by Howard Dean, whom many people think of as an anti-war figure.
And he's not.
But he supports the war, and, you know, it's a serious problem for the Democratic Party.
So what should people be doing, David? We have two minutes here. What should people be doing?
People should go to the website afterdowningstreet.org. People should call their Congress members. People should email their Congress members. People should turn out in the streets on November 2nd, Wednesday, in St. Louis and everywhere. on November 17th and 18th, people should protest at recruitment offices. And those who are willing, and I certainly will do this on November 18th, should go to jail protesting at a recruitment office. We have to stop these people from coming into our high schools, lying to our kids, and killing them.
Absolutely. And it's afterdowningstreet.org. Is that right?
That's right.
David Swanson, co-founder of afterdowningstreet.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything you do.
You too. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back with Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. We haven't forgot about Judy Miller. And we're not going to let you. We're going to be talking about that when we get back. Stay with us.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Jim Hickey. The bird flu, says Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt, is not just any old flu.
It's a violent disease that causes people to die in its worst form.
This is Ann Compton at the White House, and that Halloween scenario is at the heart of President Bush's announcement an hour from now on how the government must prepare. He's speaking at the nation's most revered medical research center with plans on who would get limited doses of vaccine, would entire cities face quarantine, would it take military troops to enforce it. Jim?
The line is drawn. People are taking sides in the fight over the nomination of Judge Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court is taking shape. One big issue, where exactly does he stand on abortion? Mixed opinions about that, but we have learned he likes his coffee strong.
It's a blend of different coffees.
Vera Barbarossa works at a coffee shop near the federal courthouse in Newark, New Jersey, where the judge now works. She says his special brew has a little espresso, a little dark Italian roast, a real morning eye-opener.
Strong and tough like him.
He may need plenty as the debate over his nomination rages. Prince Charles and his wife go to Ground Zero in New York today. The royal couple will unveil a memorial to British victims of 9/11 in the first stop of their week-long U.S. tour tomorrow. Charles and Camilla, who is the Duchess of Cornwall, will dine at the White House. Well, Ford is planning to let you take the office on the road, along in your truck. The automaker says it will soon offer wireless mobile offices in its F-Series pickups. Ford says it's about a $3,000 add-on, includes a wireless computer, a printer, and a GPS. This is ABC News.
Travelocity presents The Roaming Gnome, denouncer of travel myths. First myth, if you fly for the holidays, you can't afford a trip next year.
Pish! With Travelocity, you'll get a great holiday fare plus up to $100 off your next vacation.
Myth two, most people put off holiday shopping till the last minute.
Not me. I finished my shopping in 1975. Hope you like pet rocks.
Book a holiday flight with your MasterCard card and get up to $100 off next year's vacation. Restrictions apply. Travelocity.com/holiday for details. Travelocity, you'll never roam alone.
With that kind of speed, that kind of strength, it's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. And Advil Liquid Gels, the only leading brand with real liquid inside. Rush relief right to where you need it. It's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast, Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
We have a story this morning that may prove competition on the sports field can overcome fighting on the battlefield. ABC's Linda Alvin reports from our foreign desk.
It's still technically at war, even after all these years, but North and South Korea may soon be reunited. By sports, the two sides have announced plans to meet to discuss ways of training and selecting a unified team for the 2008 Beijing Olympic Games. When it comes to political systems, the North and South are out of step, although competing teams from each side of the demilitarized zone have marched together at the opening ceremonies of previous Olympic Games. The Koreas have been divided since 1945, but recently the temperature between the two has begun to thaw. Political observers will be hoping that a long jump may translate into a small step for diplomacy. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
It is a spooky crime fit for Halloween. Police in Olympia, Washington, say a woman dressed as a witch robbed a bank and vanished in a puff of smoke when a security dye pack exploded. I'm Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, former Senator Jean Carnahan is reportedly doing fine after receiving a pacemaker for her heart. The 71-year-old Mrs. Carnahan had the device implanted at a St. Louis hospital over the weekend and was reported to be up and about yesterday. She could be released from the hospital as soon as today. Jean Carnahan is the widow of former Governor Mel Carnahan and the mother of Congressman Russ Carnahan and Missouri Secretary of State Robin Carnahan. St. Louis Rams interim head coach Joe Vitt says he's feeling well after undergoing a minor heart procedure known as a cardiac catheterization. Vitt says he scheduled yesterday morning's appointment long before he became interim head coach.
I mean, I told my linebackers back in August when I came back from the hospital from that two-day visit, hey, during the bye, the first day the bye's up, I'm going to get this thing done. And it just so happens that I was put into the position of an interim head coach, and everybody knows about it. I had the catheterization. My main arteries are great. Doctor says I look great, so here I am.
Vitt is 2-1 in place of head coach Mike Martz, who is out for the season with a bacterial infection of the heart valve known as endocarditis. The 4-4 Rams have a bye this week with their next game set for November 13th in Seattle. Congress is expected to vote this week on student aid changes as part of their budget reconciliation work. Missouri Democratic Congressman Russ Carnahan says he's outraged that these cuts are even being considered. He says at $14 billion it would represent the single largest student aid cut ever enacted. Carnahan says if the cuts go through, most students would see an increase of about $6,000 in their student loans, and that would discourage some people from going to college. St. Louis rapper Nelly and the Rams' Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk are continuing a St. Louis tradition of local stars giving back to the community. Last night's Cellabowl Celebrity Bowling Tournament raised money for the Three Stars Foundations. Nellie's Jess Us for Jackie Foundation supports bone marrow research in memory of his sister, Jackie Donahue, who died of leukemia in March. The Marshall Faulk Foundation backs organizations for inner-city youth, and the Holt Foundation helps meet the needs of the children of cancer patients. Finally this hour, the Cardinals have announced that pitcher Randy Flores has undergone elbow surgery to remove a bone spur. The left-handed reliever will resume throwing in 6 to 8 weeks, and he is expected to be fully healthy in time for spring training. Flores went 3-1 with a 3.46 ERA and one save in 50 appearances this season. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Rhodes Furniture. After 130 years, Rhodes Furniture is in bankruptcy and is closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, St. Peter's, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything must be liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and McKnight. Look for traffic easing after an earlier accident. Westbound 40 at Laclede Station, there's an accident. The left lane is blocked, and traffic is backed up all the way to the Science Center. Northbound 55 between Weber and Virginia. Look for heavy traffic in pockets due to the sunshine. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge, it is slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way into Mason Road. Look for that traffic to be easing up a bit. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, you've got slow volume there. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for that traffic to be easing. Northbound 270 from Gravois all the way into Marshall Road. You still have stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Laclede Station. Look for slow traffic there. Southbound 55 between Gasconade and Loughborough. There's construction work. The two right lanes are closed. There are no delays. Westbound 44 between Lewis and 109. Look for bridge maintenance that has one lane closed. Westbound 40 between 270 and Mason, you still have slow traffic going on out there. Westbound 5570 split at 64 all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit all the way into Laclede's Landing. You are slow as you head into downtown St. Louis. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. And eastbound 64 at Illinois 159, there's road maintenance operations. That has the right lane closed as crews continue their pothole repair. Clayton Road at Clayton Forest, there's an accident involving a vehicle into a building. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has three daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny skies today in the morning, then becoming mostly clear throughout the day with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, clear with a low in the lower 40s. Wednesday, sunny skies with a high around 70. Wednesday evening, mostly clear with a low around 50. And Thursday, mostly sunny, breezy with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have mostly clear skies with 45 degrees at Lambert Field. Right here at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 44. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hearing revolution in the air, I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers, from the sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers, from the sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air from the brothers, from the sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say, say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown, and our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We are also broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We also, and we also are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to us. We have much to talk about. Last hour, we had David Swanson, the co-founder of afterdowningstreet.org. And he was talking to us about having a poll, having commissioned a poll, to find out how Americans feel about whether or not George Bush should be impeached. And the question was very specific. The question posed was, if George Bush lied about the war, should he be impeached? And there are many facets to the story, but what's significant for this hour is the fact that he couldn't find a pollster to do it without being paid to do it. And then the challenge that he is having to have reporters report on the results of this poll, that the majority of Americans, when asked that question in that poll, said, impeach him. We're in an amazing place in terms of what reporters are willing to report on. And we are in an amazing place with what reporters do report on. We need to talk about that. And I think that I think one of the best examples that we have of the dire state that we find ourselves in terms of those who bring us the news, those who report the news to us. The best example of what you should not do is Judy Miller. And we need to talk about her because I heard she's up for some kind of award or something. We need to talk about that. And we're going to have that conversation, and to facilitate that conversation, we have joining us from New York, Stephen Rendell. He's the senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on, Liz.
My pleasure. Judy up for an award?
Well, actually, she already got it. It was in Las Vegas. I believe it was on the 18th. It was just a couple of days after the New York Times published their big report on October 16th, telling what happened, what Judy Miller's involvement was in this whole event that is now culminated in the indictment of Louis Scooter Libby. And, yeah, it's very interesting. I think you make a great point. We are in a very strange time as far as who are those people that tell us the information that we need to know to be informed citizens in a democracy, if that's what we're in.
And I have to, we're in a strange place because I'm getting ready to quote a comedy show as proof of my point. There's a new show that was started after The Daily Show, The Colbert Report. Stephen Colbert has his new own show.
Yeah, Colbert Report.
Colbert Report. One of the things that he said, because it's a takeoff on the news as it is brought to us by Fox and in particular by Bill O'Reilly. And on the first show, he was spoofing Bill O'Reilly, and that's what the show is pretty, and the way the news is brought to us. And the thing that he said was, I'm not going to let a dictionary or any books bring us any facts. The facts come from my head, and the facts come from my heart. You know, so it's almost, and I thought that nailed where we are in terms of the state of journalism, that we have all of these people out here that we're not, a book is not going to tell you what a fact is. Your head or your heart tells you what a fact is.
Well, that's right, and that's definitely true of O'Reilly and a lot of those other cable news talking heads. But as far as Miller publishes things that do look an awful lot like facts until you examine them. And, of course, one of the things that should be pointed out is she was protecting Louis Libby for over a year. She was extending a confidentiality agreement to him. Now, it should be pointed out the reason that reporters, the reason that professional journalists sometimes allow sources to be anonymous is because those sources are whistleblowers. In other words, those sources have come forth at some threat to themselves. In some cases, it can even be the threat of death, to give information to the journalist and thus to the public that is good for the public interest. They're doing it for the people. In this case, though, Judith Miller was extending a confidentiality agreement to Louis Libby so that Libby could save his skin. He was up. He was accused of leaking the information about White House critic and former ambassador Joseph Wilson, who had contradicted the White House's case for war. Wilson had gone to Niger and had come back and said that, in fact, there was not any evidence that Iraq was trying to buy uranium from Niger or any neighboring African nations there. And this had been, of course, the thing that George Bush had said during his State of the Union message. This was a falsehood. Just to be kind, I'll call it a falsehood. When this government critic contradicted the White House with the truth, that's an important point, he was, the White House set out, through at least Louis Libby, we don't know who else, to punish him. So in other words, Judith Miller was protecting somebody who would use the awesome power of the state to attack a government dissenter. This is un-American at its core, and as far as journalism, it is such a mess. It is such an abomination on journalism to think that right after that was all revealed in the New York Times, or most of that stuff was revealed in the New York Times, that Judith Miller would be given an award by the Society for Professional Journalists, which is, I have to say, a group that we've been very close to over the years, but have grown somewhat apart over this Judith Miller thing. It's beyond satire.
And I think one of the ways to help people understand this, because like you said, everything is almost turned on its ear in terms of our expectations of what journalists are supposed to do, what journalism is. When you have the people pounding the ears of the American people and getting in the face of the American people every day saying the facts come from my head, the facts come from my heart, there are rules in journalism, aren't there? There are standards in journalism. Walk us through some of those standards and talk to us about why what Judith Miller did is in contradiction to those standards.
Well, I think the main thing in Judith Miller's case, as far as confidentiality with Louis Libby, there was, first of all, the fact that she extended him confidentiality in order that he
period.
Could punish.
Period. Not. The fact that she offered him confidentiality at all.
Well, right. I mean, because he wasn't a whistleblower. The reason that you do this, let me give you a hypothetical. Let's say you have a police department in which there's a group of police officers that are systematically carrying out police brutality on certain communities. Let's say there's a police officer in that department that does not approve of that and decides that he wants to go to the press, but he knows that if he goes to the press, overtly, if he does it publicly, that he may get He may get hurt. He might lose his job. He might, like Serpico. Serpico got shot.
Mm-hmm.
He went up against the department. He didn't get killed, but he was badly wounded. So he goes to a reporter and says, listen, I can give you some information. I can give you some emails that show that there is a systematic, there is a cadre within our police department that systematically abuses members of certain communities, and I can give you those emails, but you have to give me confidentiality because I'm in danger. In that case, that person is a whistleblower. They have information that is good for the public interest.
And true.
They're sharing it with, yes.
And true.
And of course, the journalist doesn't always know if something's true. And
right.
It does require a certain amount of judgment. You have to assess the evidence. And at any point, if the journalist feels like they've been greatly deceived by the source, they may turn over on that source and say, you violated our agreement because you lied to me. You faked this evidence, or the statements you made to me are false, and therefore I'm going public. But in the case where the person is a valid, earnest whistleblower who is bringing true information to the reporter extends confidentiality to protect the whistleblower and to get this vital information out in the public interest. What Louis Libby was trying to do was to damage and to punish, to carry out revenge on a White House critic. That is not a whistleblower. That's somebody who's using the awesome power of the U.S. government to punish somebody relatively much less powerful.
Now,
not only that, she also agreed with Libby to identify him as a former Hill staffer. Now, she agreed to do that because he had actually once worked on the Hill. Well, this is a guy that is the vice president's chief aide, his chief of staff. He is also on the National Security Council. He has a seat on the National Security Council until a couple of days ago. And he was an assistant to George Bush, the president.
All
three of those titles, to identify him as that was completely deceiving, was totally in his service, and totally deceiving the public. Judy Miller has always thought, at least for the last 10 years, and I'd argue for much longer than that, that her chief constituency are the powerful and not the public.
Mm. Well, what information did she report on that she got from Scooter?
She didn't.
So then what is she protecting? So that's what makes this whole thing so twisted, Steve. Protecting a source that you didn't write anything that the source said.
Right. Well, I mean, the investigation led to her because of phone logs and that sort of thing, and they knew that calls had taken place. She never reported on it.
But that's what I'm saying.
We don't know exactly what was in her mind. We don't know if she had planned to report on it sometime. It seems to us at FAIR that she was simply in this loop. Some people have called her an actual member of the White House Iraq Group, which is a group of people in the Vice President's office and the President's office and the Pentagon that were working together to sell the war on Iraq.
The campaign for the war.
That's right, to sell the idea that mm-hmm. it was a good idea, that we were really threatened, and of course, now we see also to go out and punish people who contradicted that view.
And shouldn't we also look at the timetable of this as well, Steve, that this, when the prosecutor, Fitzpatrick, was looking, or Fitzgerald, was looking for this information, this was right before the presidential election, right?
Right.
And so if Judith Miller hadn't been stonewalling, this information would have come out during an election.
Well, that may well be true, and I mean there's a lot of interesting things that way. Also, Brent Scowcroft, of course, who was a top aide to Bush's father, came out just in the last few weeks to say that he doesn't recognize Dick Cheney anymore. That the country took a wrong turn when it went to war. I mean, a lot of crucial things could have happened at elite levels that may have changed the outcome of the last election, but alas.
And in particular, I mean, so can we at least look at that as maybe part of the strategy of the length of this stonewalling or the length of this obstruction by Judith Miller?
I think it's a question worth asking. I don't know enough of the behind-the-scenes details about what else Fitzgerald knew and when he knew it. It seemed that that Cooper from Time magazine did not talk to him until well after the election, too. So, I mean, I'm not exactly sure.
So in terms of the story of Judith Miller and the story of the New York Times, how does the New York Times present itself as a credible entity even after their, what was it, how many thousands of words explanation of Judith Miller? Are they still a credible entity? Are they still a credible newspaper?
Well, it is pretty interesting. They spent, I think this is a very interesting contrast, they spent about 30 to 40% as many words on explaining Judith Miller's involvement in this as they did on Jason Blair. Now, Jason Blair was the young African-American reporter who made up some facts and apparently didn't travel to some of the places that he claimed that he had filed stories from. And these are journalistic sins. But none of the issues.
And nobody died. And nobody died.
Nobody got hurt.
Nobody's life was ruined.
His stories were basically inconsequential compared to Judith Miller's. Judith Miller, of course, was the chief reporter in the United States selling the case for war. She was the lead reporter at the New York Times. When the New York Times came out and did a sort of mea culpa a year and a half ago about its weapons of mass destruction reporting, they came out and said, we did some credulous reporting. We took officials at their word and we reported this, and we did bad reporting. We should have asked tougher questions about the weapons of mass destruction. And when they pointed out the stories, they gave the dates of the stories, but they didn't name any names. But you could figure out by looking at the stories that I think five of the six stories that were the most offending stories that they had published, making the case that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, were either written entirely by or co-written by Judith Miller. Now, the New York Times is such a trendsetter in news that it influences virtually every newspaper across the United States and definitely television newsrooms as well at the national and local level. So she was, I would argue, categorically the most important journalist selling the war in Iraq. So the Times has a lot to make up for. They published a very tepid mea culpa a year and a half ago. They should do much more than that. They need to fire Judith Miller. They really do.
They've parted ways, haven't they?
It looks like they are. The Maureen Dowd wrote a very...
Oh, I love that. Oh, that was so good. That was so good. I shared it with my audience last week. That was awesome.
Well, you know that first line, you knew that it wasn't going to be good for Judith Miller when she said, I like Judy Miller.
I like, no, you don't.
You knew after that it wasn't going to be good.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He's joining us from New York. We're talking about Judith Miller and the ramifications, repercussions, where we stand post-Judy Miller. Stay with us.
Mother, please leave your daughters alone. Don't you see that's what's wrong with the world? With the world today, baby. Everybody wants somebody to be their own piece of clay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 40 at Laclique Station. That accident has been cleared. Traffic jams approaching Clayton Skinker. Westbound 70 between Jennings Station and Lucas and Hunt. There's a disabled vehicle reportedly in a traffic lane. Southbound 170 at 70. Look for a report of a car fire. Eastbound 40 at Hampton. There's an injury accident. Two right lanes are blocked and traffic jams at Boyle. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and 44. No problems to report there. Eastbound 44 to Merrimack River Bridge. That is easing now. Eastbound 70 between 370 and the Blanchet Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant. That traffic is also easing. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for slow traffic. West or northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall Road, you have slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 at Spady and Laclede Station, look for slow traffic there. Southbound 55 between Gasconade and Loughborough, there's construction work. Two right lanes are closed. There are no delays at this hour. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, that is also blocked. That ramp, you can use 11th Street or 14th Street exits to get around that area. Westbound 5570 from Tudor all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you still have slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way onto Laclede's Landing, everything's running smoothly. Jefferson and Cassar's a report of a fire on a school bus, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Start your day with a warm McGriddle sandwich and a great cup of coffee. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny this morning, becoming clear by this afternoon with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, clear skies with low and lower 40s. Wednesday, sunny with a high around 70, and Thursday, sunny and breezy with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 45 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting clear skies and 45 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Camp by candlelight at the Lewis and Clark State Historic Site in Hartford, Illinois on Friday night, November 4th. Enjoy an after-hours event at the Camp River Dubois. Site admission is free. For more info, call 618-251-5811 or go to campdubois.com. Trailblazing news to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't know why George W. Bush would become president.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Para dónde vas, muchacha? Para dónde vas, oye, mujer? Para dónde vas, dime? Para dónde vas, dónde vas? Si vas al baile, baila conmigo.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We're talking this morning to Steve Rendell. He's a senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and he's joining us from New York. We're talking about reporter Judy Miller. Steve, welcome back.
Hi.
Hi. You cover fairness. You cover accuracy in the media. You covered a lot of folks. How does the explanation or the assessment of the Washington of the New York Times when they went after Jason Blair and how they've how would you say that the New York Times has gone after Judy Miller?
Well, that's what I was saying is they spent a lot more wordage, at least 2.5, maybe 3 times as many words on the Jason Blair affair. They went into his personal life. They went into his personal relationships with top people at the New York Times, how he had been mentored to some degree by Howell Raines, the paper's executive editor. And they haven't done that with Judy Miller. Even though there are rumors about romances, there's definitely a long personal relationship between the paper's publisher, Pinch Sulzberger, and Judy Miller. They go back to when they were both reporters in Washington, D.C. in the mid-1970s. None of these things were explored in a story that was far more important and a story of far more egregious violations of journalistic principles than the Jason Blair case.
In fact, it doesn't even feel like we're having that discussion about violation of journalistic principles at all when we talk about Judy Miller.
Oh, no. And for months there, she was a First Amendment martyr, and that's why the Society of Professional Journalists gave her their First Amendment Award.
But also, Steve, she wouldn't have been held out there like that as a First Amendment warrior going to jail to protect her source if the New York Times didn't pitch it that way.
Oh, absolutely. Punch Sulzberger and Bill Keller, Pinch Sulzberger, the father is Punch, the former publisher.
And his dad is Punch and his name is Pinch?
Yes, that's a pinch off the old block or something like that.
Okey-dokey.
But Pinch and Bill Keller, the paper's current executive editor, were at every turn at press conferences defending poor Judy for having to go to jail to just protect the source, and boy, she's really doing this in the public interest and all that. The fact is, all along that time, we at FAIR were saying that's not what this story is about. This story is about protecting somebody in the government at the top level who is punishing dissenters, and the Times needs to understand that. And this is what alienated us to some degree from the Society for Professional Journalists, from a large part of the journalistic establishment. And I have to say that only editor and publisher magazine, FAIR, another columnist at the Chicago Tribune named Chapman, Steve Chapman, and a couple of other people across the country saw the story the way we did. Most of the journalistic establishment, were sort of setting their sails because in her favor, because the Times is this prestigious, the gray lady of American journalism, and they couldn't hit a wrong note. And so people were going along, I think, with the Times and with this notion that in every case, it's right for a journalist to keep confidentiality. And I want to just add this. We do believe there are cases where journalists must go to jail to protect sources. It's when those sources are truly whistleblowers and are truly trying to bring forth information that's in the public interest.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Bob, you have a question for our guest, Steve Rendell. Bob. Oh, I guess we lost him. So in terms of how they like her now, where is the Chicago Tribune? Where are the other newspapers on the issue of Judy Miller and the Times?
Well, I think the people that were with us before are still with us, and I think our side has increased geometrically. Even people at the New York Times are basically, we always knew people within the Times that were quietly on our side on this issue. Now people are able to come out in the open and say, this was just a really horrible reporter, Judith Miller, who was a lackey and was way too close with those in power, with her sources, that she was socializing with those she should have been scrutinizing. She was way too close with these powerful figures that she was supposed to be reporting on, and she did a lot of damage, including
war. That's the other piece. We're not talking about something that was of no consequence. We're in war. People have died as a result of this reporting.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the point here, and that's the point that we've been making all along. And so now that the Times, not only did Maureen Dowd write that column that we were talking about, that I would call that column was basically calling a dog rabid before you shoot it.
Yeah.
And I think the next day, after that Maureen Dowd column, the paper's public editor, the New York Times public editor, who's sort of an ombudsman, came out and basically recommended in a very quiet, Timesian way that it would probably be a good idea if she never reported for the Times again. So I think they're coming around to the idea that this was really a person that was serving elites and was not serving the public interest.
And the lovely line, there were so many lovely lines in that Maureen Dowd piece, but the lovely line at the end was that Judith Miller wanted to go on and to continue to report on weapons of mass destruction and issues, and then Maureen Dowd talked about, well, if that's the case, then the weapon that you would be holding would be in your hand.
Yeah, that's right.
That was just lovely. Let me get to some of the callers here. Bob.
Yes, thank you so much. I have this problem and these two questions. This whole story is not about a reporter or a leak or anything. It's about, did the President of the United States know that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq before he went to war? And no one in the press or outside seems to be willing to ask that question. If that is true, and if he did know, and if he didn't, he should have known that it wasn't, then he has lied to the American people, he has lied to the Congress, and that is an impeachable offense. And no one seems to want to attack that. And I put this in the context, and if he will go to this same question, his father did the same thing. He held hostages in Iraq with an agreement with the Iranian governments to hold them until after the election, and that was never investigated. People think it was, but that question was never asked. And can he just refer to that? Should the president be impeached if he knew, him and Cheney? Thank you.
Thanks for your question and comment, Bob. And Steve, I'm going to have to take a break. Hold on to your answer to that, please.
Sure.
I'm talking to Steve Rendell. He is a senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He's joining us from New York. We're talking about Judith Miller. We're talking about the Iraq War, what they knew, when they knew it, and why didn't they say it. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I will be back.
About my legacy, when I realized you were there for me, called on your name, you came, you did just what you said, for that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me, for that I'll love you forever.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric, give them a call, 382-2568.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline London. A story in this week's edition of the British Medical Journal says there is no evidence at this time to conclude that the bird flu pandemic that's being forecast even exists. The story says the avian virus at this point in time does not have the capacity to infect humans on such a huge scale.
Now, it could mutate with an influenza A virus and then spread rapidly to humans, but it does not have that capability at this time, and all the fear being generated in the media is only speculation. The story concludes by saying there is no way that the flu vaccine or Tamiflu can mitigate such possible damage. And Dateline Washington. The Department of Homeland Security has devised a plan to make roads, bridges, and other infrastructure items in the USA safe from terrorist strikes. But this plan is so secret, no one can get any information about it, not even the Senate Judiciary Committee. Congress ordered such a plan as part of last year's intelligence bill. It's supposed to be an evaluation of America's transportation and set standards and risk-based priorities. California Senator Dianne Feinstein says federal agencies have to set standards for cities to develop evacuation plans, but it's just as important for local officials to know what they are so they can implement them in a workable manner. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Hello, St. Louis. It's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4.
We'll talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend. It's the Travel Planner Show from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon.
On Radio Free St. Louis, 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you.
As the new school year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorist to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-aged children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm late for work again. And even if I'm there, they'll all imply that I might not last today. And then you call me, and it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown, and I am talking to Steve Rendell. He's a senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He's joining us from New York. We're talking about Judy Miller. Steve, on the way out, we had a caller, Bob, that asked the question of shouldn't we really be talking about did Bush lie to get us in about weapons of mass destruction?
Yeah, and he talked about something else. Let me take him in reverse order. He was talking about the October surprise story, too, and he mentioned it was Bush's father. It was actually Ronald Reagan back in 1981. There's fairly good evidence that Ronald Reagan allowed the hostages in Iran to be left there until after, until his inauguration day, and that he had, that deal was made that Reagan would send, of course, missiles that ended up going to Iran. Iran was engaged in a war with Iraq at the time, And that story, I think, has some just fiery. There's a lot of leads that were never chased down by journalists, and it's just like a lot of other stories. And I think this was the caller's point. There's a lot of stories that have never been sufficiently investigated, either officially or by the journalistic establishment. As far as Bush lying, this is what we know, and this has actually emerged because of the Scooter Libby indictment. It's become underlined, and that is in 2002, Dick Cheney and Scooter Libby and other people from the vice president's office made many trips to the CIA.
Well, and can I just interrupt just for a second, Steve?
Uh-huh.
It's my understanding that the trips made by Dick Cheney to the CIA were unprecedented in their number and in their frequency.
That's right. And it had rarely been done by vice presidents before. They were going to the CIA, by all accounts, to try to get the CIA to give them, to harden up the case, to try to cajole the CIA into making a stronger case for the Iraqi threat, make them sound very scary. That's what they were going over there to do. Now we know that this is the result now, and part of the reason is that Scooter Libby told Judith Miller that the intelligence assessment of 2002, that's the one that's in question here, the one that just preceded the Iraq War, he said, you know, you've only seen the summary, Judy. The actual full report is much tougher. Actually, that was he wasn't indicted for this, but that was just another lie by Louis Libby. In fact, the summary that was released by the White House and of course, then the vice president's office was much more hardened. If you go look at the CIA's actual full intelligence estimate, which has now been declassified, and you can read the whole thing, you see that the CIA's version, the longer version, was full of caveats. It was full of possiblys, presumablys. It was all sorts of qualifying language that would have made a reasonable person think, huh, this doesn't sound like that strong a case. But then in the hands of the White House and the vice president's office, uncertainties became certainties. And what you had was basically tantamount to a lie, to many lies. Lies made by this White House working group between the Pentagon, Rumsfeld's Pentagon, Dick Cheney's vice president's office, and the White House. You had this White House working group, otherwise called WIG, working together to try to make the best case they could for the war. And I think it's not unreasonable to say that in that effort that they took things that were not facts and they made them into facts. And we have a word for that. That's called lying.
Yes, it is.
So I think what we should, I think the caller's point was that he was just pointing out the October surprise story. I mean, there have been several stories in between 1981 and now that have never been sufficiently investigating, including Iran-Contra, including even ones that had special prosecutors, where the Democrats very meekly and docilely agreed to limit the scope of investigations. And so we never found out a lot of things about a lot of scandals.
Well,
and that's why people have to depend on shows and media, independent media, that actually question the powers that be rather than jump in bed with the powers that be.
And in terms of special prosecutors and prior investigations, do you see this new investigation of Scooter at all different than previous investigations that this country has seen?
Well, I have to say, I was impressed to see Pat Fitzgerald on Friday. He seemed very professional. And compare the fact that there have been either none or virtually no leaks out of his office, compare that with the sieve that was Ken Starr's office during the Clinton years. Ken Starr's office regularly leaked information. It's a felony to do that, but they did it constantly. Pat Fitzgerald seems very professional. He seems to be going very methodically at this. I think he's maybe a little bit conservative. I think that if you have been reading the Washington Post the last few days, it seems that he may have had a case against Rove, but he just didn't want to overcharge, over-indict. But the other thing you have to remember here, Liz, the other thing you have to remember is, we see these things happen over our heads. We have a government and a media that work together and that are elite and that are not really, that are often do not behave very democratically. And Pat Fitzgerald is part of one of those elites. He's, what's happened is one elite has gotten a little, one side of, one part of the elite, one sector has gotten a little out of control. The Cheney Bush people have gotten a little out of control and they've attacked other sectors. They've attacked, in this case, the CIA.
Mm.
And so he's brought in to sort of bring them to heel. This is what happened in Watergate. The Republicans were breaking into the Democrats' headquarters, and so they had to be brought to heel. But it's not – the reason we get these investigations is not necessarily just because it's the right thing to do and it's for justice and all that sort of thing, but it's because a sector of the elite has been offended and has been aggressed upon,
and obviously so.
Yes, and that's what, and that, and so you can't forget that. I'm heartened by this prosecution, but I'm also and Fitzgerald's professionalism. But you have to remember at this point that this is really a disagreement among elites, and we're allowed to watch, but we're going to be sitting in the grand in the.
Having said that, you don't see an indictment coming down for Karl Rove.
Well, I don't know, and I think that this guy has played it so close to the vest that I think a lot of what we're seeing is conjecture, but it seemed like...
But he sure wanted to get Judy Miller, and he was clear that he was going to get her.
Well, that's a whole other thing, and that's about, that's how this isn't really about sources. The only witnesses to this crime, to the crime that the White House and the Vice President's office perpetrated, were journalists, and so who does a prosecutor go to if he can't go... interview the witnesses to the crime. Mm. In this case, they happen to be journalists. So
it, should we make anything out of the fact that the grand jury is still working on this? Should we make anything out of that? Because that certainly wasn't...
No, the grand jury has been dismissed. It was impossible. They'd already been extended to the ultimate limit, and they've been dismissed. But he could call... What would happen is if he decided he wanted to go after Rove or somebody else, he'd call a new grand jury, and a clerk would read all of the testimony up till now to them and get them up to date over a week or two, and then he would bring in the new evidence to try to get the indictment against Rove or whoever else.
So
it could still happen.
So it's still, and is there any timetable that we should be looking at?
I don't think, not that I know of.
Okay, I want to thank you very much, Steve Rendell, Senior Analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Liz. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back to take your comments, calls, concerns in the next hour. Stay with me.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that Tom Lippert was being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. Good morning, I'm Jim Hickey. The bird is the word, and in about 10 minutes, we expect to hear from President Bush his plan to fight the deadly bird flu. ABC's Brian Ross tells us there are some very troubling issues.
As President Bush announces his plan today for handling an avian flu epidemic, there's still no solution for where to put the sick and the dying. Stadiums would become pseudo-hospitals, according to Lori Garrett of the Council on Foreign Relations.
There wouldn't be equipment and personnel to staff them adequately.
Officials estimate some 2 million Americans would die in an avian flu epidemic.
Again, President Bush expected to speak about this in about 10 minutes. Samuel Alito continues to make the rounds of Capitol Hill today, meeting with members of the Senate Judicial Committee. As the debate over his nomination to the Supreme Court picks up steam, the sides are taking shape. Former White House Press Secretary Joe Lockhart, for example, on one side.
When you look at the record, you're going to find a lot of troubling opinions, and I don't think the country wants it. The country wants to be in the center, not moving to the right.
And Joe Watkins, former aide to the first President Bush, on the other.
The neatest thing about him is the fact that he will be a fair and impartial interpreter of the law, somebody who will strictly interpret the Constitution of the United States and be impartial and not try to legislate from the bench.
The current President Bush wants the nomination confirmed by the end of the year. Countries dealing with bird flu in the Asia-Pacific region are preparing for a pandemic dry run. Next year, they plan to stage a mock disease outbreak to gauge how well they would respond to a pandemic or other health threat. 500 detainees from Iraq's notorious Abu Ghraib prison are now free after what the military calls a gesture of goodwill during Ramadan, the Muslim holy month. Officials say none of the men committed serious crimes. This is ABC News.
Velocity presents The Roaming Gnome, denouncer of travel myths. First myth, if you fly for the holidays, you can't afford a trip next year.
Pish! With Travelocity, you'll get a great holiday fare plus up to $100 off your next vacation.
Myth 2, most people put off holiday shopping till the last minute.
Not me. I finished my shopping in 1975. Hope you like pet rocks.
Book a holiday flight with your MasterCard card and get up to $100 off next year's vacation. Restrictions apply. Travelocity.com/holiday for details. Travelocity. You'll never roam alone.
With that kind of speed, that kind of strength, it's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. And Advil Liquid Gels, the only leading brand with real liquid inside. Rush relief right to where you need it. It's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast, Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
It's his thing, and now a famed soul singer is in trouble with the law. ABC's Gil Gross explains.
Isley brother Ronald Isley heard a verdict here that made him want to shout. Federal jury convicted the 64-year-old of tax evasion. Turns out he hid money by putting homes and a yacht in the names of his then-wife and even cashed royalty checks belonging to his dead brother. Unlike many other R&B stars of his era, Isley's kept busy and had a critically acclaimed and surprising collaboration with Burt Bacharach as his latest album. He faces up to 26 years in prison when he's sentenced January 9th. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Gil. A gas tax revolution is underway in Washington State. Next Tuesday, voters decide whether to reverse a recent 9.5-cent gas tax hike imposed before Hurricane Katrina drove prices up. Tax backers say Katrina's destruction shows the need to invest more cash in transportation. I'm Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the death of an area National Guards woman in the Middle East is under investigation. 35-year-old First Lieutenant Deborah Banizak died Friday at Camp Victory in Kuwait. Defense Department officials will only say that she died from non-combat-related injuries. Banizak was assigned to the Army National Guard's 1035th Maintenance Company at Jefferson Barracks. Motorists are being reminded not to drive over train tracks when a train is approaching. Ann Messick of Pacific was killed Sunday night when her car was struck by an Amtrak train. Amtrak spokesperson Mark Magliari says all too often drivers lose when they try to beat a train. He says people should never attempt to cross train tracks when the crossbars are down. Investigators believe Messick drove around the closed crossing gates and into the path of the oncoming train. Part of the St. Louis downtown airport in Cahokia, Illinois, is getting a facelift. The airport yesterday hosted a groundbreaking for a new air traffic control tower. Airport Director Robert McDaniel says there are several safety and logistical benefits to the new tower.
We'll have much better visibility, room for more controllers. It will also have a 5,000-square-foot support building that will house backup generator, administrative area. It'll be the new modern facility that we so desperately need and deserve here.
It will cost nearly $6 million in federal funds to complete construction of the tower. McDaniel said he expects it will be finished by the spring of 2007. Finally this hour, terror-filled movie theaters this weekend with the new thriller Saw 2. The sequel to the grisly 2004 horror was a cut above the competition, pulling in an estimated $30.5 million in its opening weekend to debut at number one at the movie box office.
Coming in a distant second was The Legend of Zorro, starring Antonio Banderas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Legend, a follow-up to the 1998 action comedy The Mask of Zorro, posted an estimated $16.5 million to open at number 2. The Uma Thurman-Meryl Streep comedy Prime was third with $6.4 million, followed by the family film Dreamer, inspired by a true story, at number 4 with $6.3 million. Wallace and Gromit: The Curse of the Were-Rabbit placed fifth with $4.4 million. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Start your day with a warm McGriddle sandwich and a great cup of coffee. I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Comtrax. Westbound 40 at Hampton, that accident's been cleared, but traffic still jams at Kings Highway. Southbound 55 at Route Z in Peavely, look for an accident reported. Northbound 55 between River de Pere and Lafayette, everything's on the move. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge is running smoothly. Eastbound 70 between 370 and the Blanchett Bridge, no problems to report there. Westbound 270 from Chain Rocks Bridge all the way into Washington Elizabeth, everything is easing this hour. Northbound 270 at 44 is returned back to normal. Southbound 55 between Gasconade and Loughborough, there's road construction that has two right lanes closed. There are no delays. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley is slow. Westbound 44 from Lewis to 109, look for maintenance operations having one lane closed. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, we've got slow conditions. Southbound 170 at Olive, there's construction. The right lane is closed. Westbound 70 at 170, there's bridge maintenance going on, and the left lane is closed. Eastbound 40 between Boyle and Grand, look for bridge maintenance operations there. The right lane is closed. Westbound 5570 between Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing is on the move. Eastbound 64 at 159, look for road construction going on. Right lane will be closed as the crews continue their pothole repair. Westbound St. Charles Rock Road at Cypress, look for construction there. The right lane is also closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Comtrax. Comtrax Deep Chest Cold has an ingredient specifically designed to break up stubborn chest congestion and relieve sore throats and coughing. Comtrax knocks out every kind of cold symptom. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny skies this morning, clearing by this afternoon with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, clear skies with a low in 40s. Wednesday, sunny skies with a high around 70. Wednesday evening, look forward to mostly clear skies with a low around 50. Then on Thursday, sunny skies, breezy with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 45 under sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell me the sun.
was shot and was killed tonight.
I remember saying that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up. Get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yes, thank you so much for letting me call back.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make the statement to my fellow Americans and your listeners. It was not Ronald Reagan I was speaking of. It was George Herbert Walker Bush. It was both of them together. George Bush was running as vice president with Reagan, and it was George W. Bush who, supposedly, as Secretary has said, went to Paris and made the deal with Barney Sarter to hold our hostages in Iran until after they were elected. So I'm saying that if his son grew up in a household where he knew this had happened, what would make him think that he could not do the same thing by lying to the American people like his father did, when there's more corporate billionaires that own the network stations and the Congress today than they did then? That was my point, and I think by him saying no, it was Ronald Reagan, that people may think it was not George Herbert Walker Bush.
Well, I guess the point, the confusion came in terms of if the implication I think that the guest got from you was that president to president, but because Ronald Reagan as president did do that.
Yes,
but what needs to be added to that is that the vice president, then vice president George Walker, or
yes,
George, the other George's
Herbert
dad,
Walker Bush,
had something to do with
the
it as
Dick
well.
The same as Dick Cheney had,
right,
something to do,
and I think
probably
that's
more to do with this Cheney as than did Bush.
Right.
Because I don't give Bush the credit to be able to know that. I do think Cheney could. But Bush's secretary has testified to the fact that she went with him to Paris when this deal was made.
Mm-hmm. So it's I guess the point just needs to be made clear that he wasn't acting as president, he was acting as vice president, and he was responsible,
yes,
as well.
And the other thing is that if people want to look at it, Senator Inouye, who headed up the Iran-Contra hearings, was told you cannot go back beyond the Iran-Contra and this Ollie North thing and look at anything we did. And he did not. Every time a senator tried to bring something up, that why this happened, they were stopped. They went into a private session. And the same thing with people today think the 9/11 Commission has studied what happened before 9/11. They were not. They were told you cannot look at anything before that date, 9/11. And they did not, and they will not. The same is going to war. We are not getting the truth, but People are, Rip Van Public is beginning to wake up. And thank you very much, Liz.
Thank you, Bob. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Yeah, well, President Bush and the Republicans are doing everything they can to enhance the conservatives and blacks. Lying the state of Rosa Parks' body at the U.S. Capitol, the lowering of the American flag at half staff, the appointment by President Bush of Judge Alito. It's, all steps are being taken to sabotage the damage that may have been done.
May have been done with respect to?
Well, Harriet Myers, removal of that lady that was the chief of staff on Vice President Cheney.
Clearly the Republicans are acting in a way to try and minimize the a year after an election. I don't know in the history of this country that a presidency has been the recipient of so many blows of truth to the bow. I don't know of any. It hasn't even been a year since his election, or since his re-election, or since his reappointment. And there are huge, unavoidable issues that actually allow people to see clearly about what this man stands for and what this administration stands for. The issue here, I think it is also important to point out that the lighting up of the White House doesn't simply, light is not confined to any one place. Light goes everywhere. And the light that has been shown on this administration has also been shown on the Democrats. We have Bill Clinton out there saying incredulously, I think it's incredible that he says these things. Bill Clinton is talking about that Democrats should fight back on the issue of abortion when his own wife is not fighting back on the issue of war. His own wife is embracing the issue of this illegal, immoral, murderous assault against a sovereign nation. It is hard to listen to these middle of the road fake Democrats, and the light is being shown on how weak the Democratic Party is.
Well, we'll see what happened with the confirmation of Alito.
Well, we've seen what happened with the confirmation of Roberts. They all rolled over like they were dead.
Well, they won't this time.
Well, we'll see. And the fact of the matter is that just because you're doing it this time, you're still playing people. Your job was to not allow Roberts to happen. You rolled over on that. And it isn't because that they're feeling particularly tough. It's because George Bush's stuff is falling down. It isn't because of anything that they've done. Don't fool yourself. These are not people that are fighting in your behalf. They are strategically sticking their toe in the water right now, and we'll see if they do anything once they find out how hot it is. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me, Martin.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding. What's on your mind, Martin?
No, this is Mike. I'm calling from
Mike.
North Carolina.
Okay, all right, Mike from North Carolina. Good morning.
Yeah, it's just amazing that when Clinton was in office, they sent missiles over. She's a tomahawk. They said he was wagging the dog, or wagging the tail, wagging the dog. How come we don't hear that now?
I think that we are hearing it. I think that what the challenge is that we are hearing it from the people. We're not hearing it from a lot of the elected officials. Well, I know that John Conyers has been talking about it. I know that Barbara Lee has been talking about it. There are some out there that are fighting this issue, but you're right. There aren't enough that are talking about it. You're absolutely right. Hello? All right. Thanks for your call. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hey, Liz. How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
All right. I talked to you last week. I told you my first time calling. This is my second time calling.
All right.
Let me show you how sneaky some people can be. Okay. Bush was the one that arranged for Rosa Parks' body to be in the rotunda. Second lady to be in there. First black lady. He did that. That was fine. It looked good.
No, it's the first woman, period.
First one, period, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then what he does, him and Laura Bush, they walk up there. They showed him they walked up, and they put a wreath on the casket. He turns right around, goes right straight back to the White House and votes for a guy who was everything against Rosa Parks stood up for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, talk about your awkward moment when George Bush is standing there in front of Rosa Parks' coffin, you know, and the words of Kanye West just drifting all throughout the joint. You know, George Bush don't care about black folks.
He
don't care about black folks.
See, and this is what gets me. Right now, Liz, in this day and time, some women are the head of the household, and some women make more than the husbands, which is fine. But he's got a thing where you have to get requests from a woman.
Okay,
I mean, you got to get your husband to ask.
Let's go back so the people know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about the person that George W.
Yeah,
Bush
I'm sorry.
I understand. George W. Bush has wants to be the next Supreme Court Justice, Samuel Alito.
Right.
And he has one of the things that Samuel Alito, he was in the minority when he voted for it. It was on an issue about the right to an abortion. He was in the minority, and he voted for, or he argued in his dissent, he argued that a woman should have to go to her husband to get her husband's permission in order to have an abortion.
Caveman days. The woman's not going to take that nowadays when they're strong and back. This is crazy.
And here's the other piece of it. Even if you believe that you are caveman-esque and that the husband is at the head of the household, what the rest of the justices wrote in their majority opinion on that case was that we are not going to reduce a woman into the relationship with her husband that of parent and child. We cannot reduce a woman's role into that equal relationship into he's the daddy, you're the child. That's not true. And one of the other things that a lot of women have pointed out as why such a rule with regard to abortion is so untenable.
Right.
What about women in the case, women that are being abused by their husbands?
What
if women that have been assaulted by their husbands? In fact, one woman who's the head of a woman's organization talked about how she was divorced, or she was getting a divorce from her abusive husband.
Right.
He had left her and their three children. She was pregnant again, and she, in order for her to have, this is back in the day,
right,
she had to crawl out of her hospital bed and go chase down the man who had beaten her, chased her children out of her home to get his permission on whether or not she should be able to have an abortion. And she was on welfare. She didn't have a job. She was food stamps. So it speaks to that issue. And this is the type of individual that the guy in this White House has said should be on the Supreme Court for the rest of our lives, his life.
Right, right. Okay. You're right, you see. And I like what you just said about Clinton's wife. I mean, they're talking about making her president. And now she's
for the war.
Liz, okay, I'm going to get off your phone. Love you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Ray, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, turn your radio down in the background, please.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Hey, on this abortion issue, I had an incident happen to me once. I was at work. I got a call that I had to come, that I had to come to the hospital. And so I went to the hospital, and my wife had an abortion. I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked into the hospital, the intern approached me with a fetus in a jar and said, "Look what you did."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Wait a minute! I didn't."
Did you?
I don't know anything about this. You accused me. I said, "You did this, not me."
Well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Did you talk to him about how dare you get into my business?
Well, I'm saying he was already in my business.
But I don't care. But the fact of the matter is, is that he had no right to judge you. Let me finish my point.
Mm-hmm.
He had no right to judge you. Either way, you should have called his boss and had him fired for doing that.
Well, wait a minute. Now listen.
Why didn't you do that?
They all sanction that.
How would you know? You didn't talk to his
boss? Wait a minute. No, just a minute. I'm telling you, that's what they do. They sanction that. I didn't have no recourse. My wife went in there. She gave...
You didn't try any recourse.
Wait a minute. The baby's dead.
But I'm talking about the person who brought... Wait a minute. I'm talking about... You started the story with this man coming to you.
I'm saying my wife had to go down there. She had to start this in motion. She had to put this in action.
And you had an opportunity to respond.
I didn't
I didn't have any idea that she had went and killed a baby.
Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is
a man should have some say about his wife having an abortion.
But there shouldn't be any law that says
it shouldn't be no law, but a man should have... It should have a say-so about a woman having an abortion.
Then we're on the same page. What I'm saying is that this man is saying that if there should be a law on the book
a woman
has to go get permission from her husband. I empathize with any relationship, a married relationship, where the parties are not in a place where they are talking to each other and making that decision with one another. Okay, it's a terrible thing, but it's a horrible thing for somebody to put a law on the book that I got to go to this person in order to make this decision, because regardless of whatever you believe and whatever you think, the person that is going to have to make the decision is the person whose body it's in.
Abortion is murder.
Well, and you are absolutely entitled to believe that.
Well, I'm not going to believe that. That's a fact.
Well, you can that's your belief, sir.
I don't believe that. I know
you
that.
Don't, okay, well, you can know that, sir. You mm-hmm. can absolutely mm-hmm. know that, believe that, and all of that. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that everybody does not know that or know something to the contrary or believe something differently. And we live in a society that allows for all of us to have those belief systems.
Beliefs and ifs. And it don't work.
Sure does. Sure
all
does.
Right, it don't work.
All right. Thanks all right, for your call. Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. Kevin.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Liz. This is my own personal opinion. The powerful white man could care less about abortion. What they're really after is putting us back 50 years, black Americans, under Jim Crow rules. Has nothing to do with abortion. I don't think Bush cares about abortion. Cheney cares about abortion. Or any other powerful white men care about abortion. They're using it as a smokescreen and a battle cry so they can make poor white males vote Republican, which is totally ridiculous. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. I think that there are a number of people that are also of the school of thought of the politicalness of this abortion issue, that the abortion issue certainly is an issue that is about, in the eyes and the actions of many of these elected officials, it's about solidifying my base, baby. It's about getting money for my coffers, baby. This is about M-O-N-E-Y and P-O-W-E-R. Money and power. It is. If George W. Bush doesn't care about black folks, what do you think he cares about your baby? If George W. Bush cared about babies, we would have a bankruptcy bill that protected the baby's parents. If George W. Bush cared about babies, we would have programs that allowed for, or we would have single payer health care. If he cared about babies, we'd have some food stamps for babies. We'd have jobs for babies' parents. This is about politics 101. Politics 101. Car phone.
Yeah, Liz. I
want
to say this about husbands. I was separated from my husband 13 years when I wanted to have a tubal ligation. And they wanted to put me out the hospital.
What do you mean they wanted to put you out the hospital?
Because I couldn't find my husband to have him to sign the papers.
Ain't that
and we had been separated 13 years. I had a doctor that told me, say, she's not going anywhere. She's trying to stop having kids because she's the head of the household. And he told me, call somebody, your brother, anybody, and sign these papers. And this is stupid and ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Yes,
you know,
it is.
And that's the only way I got my tubal ligation. I had already had 6 children.
Mm.
Now, they don't want to take care of these babies, but they don't want to stop you from having kids. You know,
my belief is
not that. Man, I used to tell my kids, my right may be your wrong, and my wrong may be your right. That's why people are so stupid getting into people's personal business.
And here's the thing. You know, how are you going to, if you're mad about something, if somebody made, why didn't you go and get on the person that brought that to your face?
Nah.
You know?
That's right.
He's
one of the type of men that that's my baby. But where is he when it comes time for everything else?
Thanks for your call, Shirley.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. I'll be back. Hold up.
Thinking about the fear I've had so long. When somebody here listen to the fear that's gone. Strangled by
St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryan.
Redemption songs. Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it, we've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Is all I ever had.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Stephen, good morning.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted your opinion on what you thought about a lot of these far-right radical stations that they basically don't leave any in-between. It's like if you're a Democrat, you're just considered a leftist scum, and if you have any opinions, you know, anything in the middle, then you're considered either for or against. It seems like it's setting a dangerous precedent as far as what people listen to on the radio. Maybe you've heard the Savage Show and different shows, Limbaugh, and also, I just wanted your opinion on what do you think about those kind of shows. And
I think that this is America. I think that it's important to have all kinds of thoughts and have access to all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of information. The danger comes in is when we have a larger media that only allows one type of voice to be heard. I believe that there are some categorical rights and wrongs. I believe that there are some issues that are good and some issues that are bad. The challenge that I have seen that a lot of the right wing shows have is that their facts or their issues are reduced into sound bites, and so therefore you cannot allow for a long period of time or even just a short period of time to discuss their issues, because it unravels once you put time and attention on it. So they have been masterful because of the millions of dollars and the millions of hours that have gone into supporting them in reducing issues down into sound bites. And they have been masterful in applying or speaking to that mentality of listener out there that is only interested in a soundbite and not a dialogue or not facts or not issues. So they have been very effective because they've had money. They've been very effective because they've had access to the airwaves. And the Democrats or the progressives or the liberals have laid down on this issue, have not put the money or the attention into the importance of having a liberal talk radio. Have not put the money or the attention and the thought into protecting your ideology and your issues out there.
Yeah, the main thing I have against it is they do it in almost a malicious type of way.
Itself.
They try to demean people for having an idea other than theirs.
Well,
I just think that's a dangerous thing.
I don't know that I think it's dangerous. I think what's dangerous is not having the other side, because once you have the other side, then it is clear to people how mean-spirited and how void of facts their opinions are. And those types of things generally fade away because they come across as strident, they come across as untrue, and they come across, when unbalanced and when there are other voices out there, they come across as ridiculous. What we don't have are the larger airwaves ensuring that there are other voices on the other side to reflect upon their strident opinion, mean-spirited acts. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it would be dangerous to say that you can't have it. It's more dangerous. It is more dangerous not to have the other side of that.
Thanks for that. And I'll continue listening to the show. I think it's one of the best ones on the radio.
Take care, Stephen, and thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
454-0400 is my phone number. Ralph, good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
I totally agree with your last statement. I think that Air America, Link TV, if you read some of the conservative blogs like I do, they are totally at war with these people. You know what I'm saying? They don't want another side to anything. And just as much as what the gentleman said earlier about George Bush and Reagan, I never heard anybody talk about the weekend that he sent George Bush down to Atlanta to shut down the investigation on the murder of all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't reported in the Western press, in the U.S. press, but the Guardian and England, the French press, of course, couldn't read anything online then because it wasn't in vogue. But this is one thing I'd like for you to discuss, if you remember the incidents. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Barry, good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I love your program.
Thank you, Barry.
You know, because you touch issues that a lot of places don't, and you've actually been breaking news stories right and left.
We're kind of proud of what we do here at the wake-up call.
Well, you should be. But, by the way, did you see who they're going to appoint for the Missouri Healthcare Association as executive director?
I have not.
John Dolan.
Really?
Yes.
When did that decision come down?
Apparently yesterday.
Okay. No, I did not see that.
Yes, and it's going to be bad news because Mr. Dolan and Jody Stefanik were pioneers in quite a few of these Medicaid cuts.
That's right.
And Mr. Dolan is going to be in charge of nursing homes. So Bell Fountain Center
is toast.
Is gone.
It's gone.
Yes,
gone.
I'm sorry to, give you bad news.
Yeah, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, and I do apologize to you for that.
That's okay. We're supposed to break the news.
But, you know, like I said, you've been setting the trail big time. So, you know, like I said, you start my day for me every day.
Barry, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Liz, and you have a great day.
Take care of yourself, Barry. 454-0400 is my phone number. Well, George Bush is wheeling out Big Bird. He was just on the news giving us his pandemic flu strategy. Are you scared yet? I can't scare you about Saddam Hussein anymore. You're not losing to me about that. You're not losing to me about Osama bin Laden. Let me scare you. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. George W. Bush gave a speech at the National Institute of Health, and he's going to fund early detection, containment, and treatment. While there does not appear that there will be a pandemic in the near future, we need to prepare for such an event now. Well, we are in a healthcare crisis right now. Let's prepare for that. We're in the midst of a gas crisis. Let's prepare for that now. Let's prepare. Why, if we're going to prepare for some stuff, if we're going to do some stuff, let's do stuff about the crisis. It says it does not appear that there will be a pandemic in the near future. We have a pandemic in healthcare right now. A pandemic in jobs. We have a pandemic going on right now. Let's prepare for that one. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Cell phone.
How you doing, Liz? This is Wayne Luster, Vice Chairman of FIRE.
Wayne Luster, good morning.
To pledge 100 blankets for your blanket drive on behalf of FIRE, and to also thank you for the show that we've done. I think it's been over 2 months now, and I've been checking out your blog or two, and I see that folks are still commenting on the show that we did over 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing. Every day somebody is commenting on that.
Yes. So I appreciate this forum that you've allowed us to address and get our issues out along with Local 73A. As a matter of fact, I want to challenge them. I remember, Paul, when we were on, we were talking about getting the answers. We both can step up to the plate and answer the homeless situation, and I challenge them and their organization to donate some blankets also to the homeless.
Very good. So that's 100 blankets from FIRE.
Yes, it is. Very. And any other organization out there, not just Local 73, but the NAACP, the Urban League, the Black Round Table, all the organizations out there that have been fortunate enough to have employment to donate to the less fortunate.
Very good. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive starts, we will be taking blankets on the 18th of November at Carver House. We'll be delivering them on the following Saturday on the 19th, and we'll start taking blankets here at the station. Actually, we're taking them this week. So I look forward
to
that.
What I'll do is even go out on a limb and commit some bodies to the effort. Some Black firefighters, Firefighters Institute for Racial Equality members will also be out there helping you in whatever capacity you need us to help.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Wayne.
All right,
thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We're not done here. Stay with me.
Some kids don't, and some of us are wondering why. And mom won't watch the news at night, there's too much stuff that's making her cry. We need
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Beijing. Investigators say a Chinese exporting company has been accused of being part of a conspiracy to sell surface-to-air missiles to organized crime groups in the United States.
The Shinshati Group is a conglomerate of Chinese state-run manufacturers and apparently paid bribes to some American officials to get those missiles into the U.S. The weapons in question could be used to shoot down commercial aircraft. This is the first case to be looked into under a law passed last year that makes it a crime to deal in missiles designed to destroy airplanes. This case has developed out of a larger federal investigation based in Los Angeles that is called the Smoking Dragon. It centers around a Taiwanese national who sold high-quality counterfeit American $100 bills. And Dateline Washington, testimony before a Senate subcommittee last week revealed that the United States still depends heavily on oil from the Arab Gulf. George Person, an official from the Energy Department, says America has to import 60% of the oil it needs. He went on to say that Saudi Arabia provides 1.5 million barrels to the U.S. each day, but it is America's third largest provider behind Canada and Mexico. More capacity from Saudi Arabia will probably not help America's needs because most of what they produce is heavy sour crude, and that's harder to refine into gasoline and diesel fuel. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Influenza can be a serious disease, especially if you're at high risk.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or any other chronic medical condition, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're pregnant during influenza season, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with anyone in these high-risk groups, yes. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. Some people don't think influenza is serious, but they're wrong. Dead wrong. This year's influenza virus will kill as many as 36,000 people. Influenza is that serious. We are too.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, we're talking to you. Influenza vaccine is available in a variety of places. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
A dedication to all the refugees worldwide. One time. Say, say, say. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn. Abba's office, the crookedness. I did mingle with the good people we meet. Good friends we had, oh, good friends we've lost along the way. In this great future, you can't forget your past. So dry your tears, I say, until my peeps who passed away. No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. George Bush is trying to scare us with Big Bird. He just had a press conference, hasn't been able to scare us off of his behind on all these other issues, so he's going to try to haul in the big guns, haul in Big Bird. Let's hear what George Bush has to say about why we should be scared.
Avian flu is still primarily an animal disease. And as of now, unless people come into direct, sustained contact with infected birds, it is unlikely they will come down with avian flu.
So then why did you have a press conference? Unless you're rolling around in the company of tens of thousands of infected birds, it's not going to be a problem. Well, I imagine that if you roll around in the company of any kind of infected animal out there, you're going to pick up something. You know, it's more likely that you would get rabies than you would get this avian big bird flu. You know, if you want to talk about pandemics, let's talk about lead poisoning. You want to talk about pandemics, let's talk about stuff that we can fix, and that is a real problem. Play that again, Howard, because this is just absurd. This is just absurd. Why are you interrupting my day with this mess? Play that again.
Avian flu is still primarily an animal disease.
Okay.
And as of now, unless people come into direct, sustained contact with infected birds, it is unlikely they will come down with avian flu.
Then why are you interrupting my soaps? Why are you on the air? Oh, madness. The only thing that this is designed to do is to try to get you scared. So you don't see, they think that somehow they wave Big Bird in front of you, that you, when you go to the gas station, you're not going to see the price of gas. They think you're that stupid and blind. They think somehow if they wave this Big Bird in front of you, that when you go and into your house this winter and can't turn on the heat, you won't be thinking about the heat not being on. You won't realize that it's cold. You won't realize that you can't afford to pay your heat bill. You'll be scared about this Big Bird flu. Why are you on my television set? Why are you talking on this? You haven't prepared for nothing since you've been in office except for war. And we supposed to believe you preparing now for this? You haven't fixed Katrina. The results of Katrina, there are tens of thousands of people in Florida who are still with no electricity. Yo, FEMA hasn't fixed that. Pandemic, maybe the pandemic is in your office. Ain't that some stuff? Get off my TV set. This is one of those dirty bots. This is one of those scare moves from, the guy that couldn't beat a dead man. What was his name? The guy that ran against the dead man and couldn't beat him. Oh, John Ashcroft. Remember when John Ashcroft was in Russia? He hopped on your television to say, "We got the dirty bomber." And whatever happened with that case? Unbelievable. Fear factor. That's how this administration rolls. Don't be schnookered. Ain't no bird flu. You're on a wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning.
Liz, how are you doing?
I'm outstanding.
That's good. Hey, Liz, I want to change the subject a little bit. On these, on this blanket drive.
Yes.
I hope I worded this correctly. When I work downtown, I have a business that's downtown, and mm-hmm. I try to be humble and generous. And some of the homeless people will come up to me, and they'll ask me for money and that. But I'll, you know, in the past I've given them money, but they go and they buy beer and, you know, whatever else with it, and then come back. And I mention something to them about it. And they kind of laugh and make a joke out of it. And then I've even had them, you know, help me out occasionally. And the first thing they do is say, "I got money to go buy, you know, something other than what they need." Let's see. Isn't there something other than blankets that we could do for those who want to be helped. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, and I hear the philosophy that you are exercising. I think that everybody in America has a right to give to whoever they want to give to. I also believe that my philosophy of giving is that once I give a gift, then a person can do with that gift what they want to. I don't have ownership or control, or nor do I want ownership of a gift, because that doesn't make it a gift.
Right.
Wait a minute. Let me finish.
Okay.
If I give somebody a blanket that is homeless, it stops there for me. What that person does with the blanket is not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give people something that helps them. It's just like anything in life. You give people good advice, some people are going to take it, some people are not. Does that mean you're not going to give good advice anymore? If you give somebody something nice and they don't use it, does that mean you're not going to give it anymore? I don't believe that we should roll that way. Everybody is not going to do right with anything, no matter whether they're homeless or whether they live in a White House.
Right.
So the fact of the matter is there is a serious, undeniable, inescapable homeless problem on the streets of St. Louis. And I am going to do every single thing that I can to address that. I am going to advocate and ask people to give blankets to people that are living in the streets. And I'm going to go to my house. I'm going to get in my bed and get under my covers and feel very good about what I have done. And I'm not going to have a second thought about it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for your call.
All right, 454-0400
is my phone number, 454. Oh, never mind. It's time to get to these calls. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
It bugs me when people say, I'm not going to give money to that bum because they'll just buy alcohol or drugs. And I just think if that person can get a few minutes of relief, then I could give a, you know what they do with that money.
I'm not judging anybody.
Okay.
I'm not. It is a gift. If it's a gift, if it's something with strings attached, it ain't a gift anymore.
Yeah.
And if your philosophy is that a person's not going to do right with it, then don't give.
Right.
But don't tell me what I'm supposed to do with my money.
Well, I mean, you know, I give it to them knowing, hey, that's good for a bottle of alcohol.
All right.
But they're
going to
get a little comfort, so go ahead on, you know.
All right.
But why I called this bird flu thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to make people, us crazy bird people, not me, stop feeding the birds. Oh, my God, I can't have all these birds around me, you know?
Isn't that something?
And okay, that's just a drop in the bucket of what's going on, but the poor little birds got to eat, too. Please don't quit feeding the birds because you're scared that you're going to catch this flu.
Good looking out. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Last call, please.
Yes, I'd like to know, earlier you were talking about abortion, and the person who wants to get an abortion would have to ask her husband. Is that a law?
No, this was a dissenting opinion given out by the guy that George Bush wants to be our next Supreme Court justice, that he felt that law should be underheld, and it was overturned.
Well, I'll call it with my follow-up question.
All right. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. You don't want to miss St. Louis Public Schools Watch tomorrow. Heck of a story with Peter Downs. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
I'm Jim Hickey.
The country has been given fair warning of this danger to our homeland and time to prepare.
This time, the president is not talking about terrorism. This time, it is bird flu.
At this moment, there is no pandemic influenza in the United States or the world. But if